The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday, October 18th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, at least six people were injured after gunfire rang out inside a mall in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Sunday afternoon. According to police, several males were arguing inside the Park City Center Mall when multiple shots were fired. A woman and three men were shot during the incident. All four victims are expected to survive. Police say two other females suffered minor injuries while trying to flee the mall after the shooting. Video shared on social media captured a flurry of emergency responders rushing towards the mall's entrance. Multiple people were taken into custody, but it's unclear if those arrested included the gunman. The mall remained closed for the remainder of the day yesterday, but they are expected to reopen today. Anyone with information about the shooting is asked to contact police. The trial for the man accused of shooting six Philadelphia police officers is scheduled to begin today. Maurice Hill will be on trial for a number of charges, including more than 60 attempted murder charges, to account for not only the officers he's accused of shooting, but also the ones who investigators said were put in harm's way during a shootout 2 years ago. Police used tear gas to force Hill out of a row home following a seven-hour-long standoff and shootout back on August 14th, 2019. It happened along the 3700 block of North 15th Street in the city's Tioga-Nicetown section. Officers were at the home to serve a narcotics warrant when Hill barricaded himself inside and used an AR-15-style rifle and other handguns to shoot at police. At one point, two officers were trapped inside the home for several hours before a SWAT team rescued them, according to police. Investigators said more than 200 rounds were fired and that officers later found five handguns, including the rifle. During the standoff, a nearby daycare center was locked down for hours and later evacuated, with police officers helping carry the babies out of the daycare center. Two city buses were set up where shaken children waited for their parents to pick them up. The trial is scheduled to begin today at 9 a.m. The CDC updated its holiday guidance, and they're saying masks and outdoor gatherings will still be the best way to make holiday gatherings safe this year. The CDC's number one advice is for all those who are eligible to get the COVID-19 vaccine before people get together and travel for the holidays. For kids ages 11 and under who aren't eligible to get the vaccine, the CDC recommends all those who will be around them over the holidays to be vaccinated to protect them. For indoor gatherings, people should still be wearing masks, they're saying, especially if you're unvaccinated. Outdoors is still considered safer than indoors for these family gatherings. Families may want to take additional precautions before they get together and get tested. The CDC also suggested people avoid crowded spaces before traveling. By masking up and getting vaccinated, families have a much better option than last year when the CDC steered people away from traveling and gathering in person in the era before vaccines. In sports this morning. In the baseball playoffs for the second night in a row, the Braves won the game with a walk-off. In last night's Game 2, Eddie Rosario ended a four-hit night with the game-ending single and gave the Braves a 5-4 comeback win over the Dodgers. The Braves joined the 1997 Marlins, 81 Astros, and 69 Orioles as the only teams with a walk-off win in the first two games of a postseason series. Game 3 is tomorrow night as the series shifts to Los Angeles. In the ALCS, they continue tonight with Game 3 between the Boston Red Sox and Houston Astros at Fenway Park. The series is tied at one game apiece. First pitch is scheduled for 8:08 tonight. Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott will undergo an MRI for a right calf injury that he suffered on his touchdown pass to CeeDee Lamb to beat the New England Patriots in overtime. Prescott was wearing a walking boot after yesterday's 35-29 win. And the Flyers return to the ice tonight to take on the newest franchise in the NHL, the Seattle Kraken. The Flyers lost their season opener on Friday night in an overtime shootout. The puck is set to drop tonight at 7 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. We welcome you to Monday Morning Friends. And just a helpful reminder, 2 weeks from today,
yes,
oh my
we
God.
Do the Camp Out for Hunger.
It's unfreaking real.
It will be here 2 weeks from today. We'll be broadcasting live in the Wells Fargo Center parking lot right there by Xfinity Live. So we're still getting it all together. It's, several weeks earlier than normal. So hopefully you'll be prepared and hopefully More importantly, we'll be prepared for that. We will see. We're working on it, but
it seems to be good. Yeah.
Hey, listen, we've already got things. There. We already got things started with Acme. So yes, that's excellent. You can do that leading up to it, the Head Start program. So we appreciate the assistance in advance. But if you normally do a food drive this time of year, just keep in mind you got to get on that much, much earlier. And we'll just see how this all rolls out. It's because of some scheduling things. And we'll try it out, take it out for a spin.
Yes.
Kick the tires.
Right.
See what we think about it. And hopefully you'll be able to join us for the whole event. Outside of that, we have the MMR Money Clips reinstituting that today. And this is the final week on that for the time being. So just letting you know. That we'll get to that at 8 and 10, and then throughout the day. So the Money Clips continues. We have a new Word of the Week prize, and we're giving away $500 from Ashley Home Store.
Ooh.
And they are a proud partner of the Preston and Steve Camp Out for Hunger. They have 11 area locations, and they're online at ashleyfurniture.com.
I have some of their furniture in my home, Preston.
Wonderful.
I love it.
We're going to give away money concerning those guys. So that's at the end of the show. We'll get the letter of the day and so on. And today, we have a really cool announcement. It's another dimension of the Preston and Steve show, and we'll get you the details. I think after the entertainment report,
okay,
when we break and then come back, I think it'd be a good spot to roll that.
All right.
All right, so we have those things and more taking place. We'll see how our weekends went and what else we have going on. Of course, the entertainment report is up next with a stupid question, so give some things away. When we come back, we'll take a little break. Hopefully we'll have a little bit of rays of sunshine breaking on the horizon as we get ready to start our day together. We'll be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com. It's kind of self-explanatory after that.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, the stupid question prize this week, this sounds pretty interesting. We have a pair of tickets for the Pops Rocks ABBA, Mamma Mia and More.
Oh, boy.
Which is going to be at the Kimmel Center. And that's on Wednesday, November 17th. So, that's pretty cool. I like ABBA. They're like a...
How can you not?
They're a guilty pleasure of mine. And to hear the Pops Rocks cover of that should be pretty awesome. So, the question that I have for you this morning, very easy one. This is a gift. What does the fairy godmother transform into a coach for Cinderella? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. What does the fairy godmother transform into a coach for Cinderella? Call if you know the answer. 215-263-WMMR. Monday, October 18th, I'll mention some birthdays while we'll wait for the call to come in from you. It is Pam Dauber's birthday, the actress from Mork and Mindy.
Yeah, she was just portrayed by another actress in that viral clip of that impressionist, that Robin Williams impressionist.
Yeah, and in fact, Zelda Williams, Robin's daughter, recently tweeted something out that was like, hey, I appreciate it,
yeah,
but don't send this to me anymore.
It's too painful.
Well, she's seen it,
yeah,
and she says that that he's really talented. Yeah. Jamie, I forgot his last name, the actor, but is spot on. But she's like, look, it was a sad day for my dad.
Yes.
And kind of a weird one for me to relive over and over. So I appreciate it, but you don't have to do that anymore.
I wonder if he called her Daubs, as is depicted in that clip.
I got to guess so.
Yeah,
maybe
right?
That's where he picked it up from. Yeah, so Pam Dauber is celebrating her 70th birthday today. It's Ditka's birthday today.
Ditka.
Mike Ditka is 82 years old.
What's he pitching? What's his old man thing that he pitches?
It's some gambling site, Steve. Yeah. I remember which one.
But, and suppositories.
No. There are two guys who are very energetic in the commercial, and then Ditka's sitting there. And you know he's collecting a paycheck,
right,
but he didn't really put a whole lot into the effort, a lot of effort into this particular commercial.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah,
what he said.
Basically.
You know.
Yeah, he's gambling. I don't care.
Yeah.
You do it if you want. I'm not a big fan.
Right?
He's 82 today.
And those were the best takes that made it to the final edit.
Martina Navratilova, the tennis legend, is 65 years old today.
Got to see her play in person a few times.
Oh, no kidding.
Pretty amazing.
At the Open?
Bet. Yeah, yeah, at the Open, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Then we have Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Uh-huh.
The actor and kickboxer is 61 today. I wonder what the last thing he did was.
He distracted people so that a jewelry store could be robbed in Paris.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. He happened to be next door this robbery was taking place, and the culprits used his celebrity to have the crowd looking the other way as they escaped.
Unbeknownst to him, but they figured, hey, this is the best time to rob this jewelry store.
Didn't he do something where he played himself?
Yes, a series. I saw a little bit of it. It seemed really good. And he's actually now, he is making money off of being Jean-Claude Van Damme as Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He is 61 today. Jazz musician Wynton Marsalis, one of the greats. Actually, it says here Pulitzer Prize winning.
Is that right?
Jazz musician. I don't know the details of how he would go about winning the Pulitzer, because that is not a musical prize. It's a literary prize.
Maybe he's so good that it bled on over.
Well, apparently there's a Pulitzer for music. So
no kidding.
Yeah, never he won that in 97.
Was not aware of that.
His oratorio, Blood on the Fields.
Okay.
Which I don't know about, but yeah, he won that back in 1997.
Is there a Pulitzer for radio? Perhaps we've won, Preston, and unaware of it.
Not sure. We'll have to check into that.
Now that we're
is it possible that we missed that email?
You'd think they'd want to let us know that we're Pulitzer Prize winners.
Wynton Marsalis is 60 today. Terry McMillan, he's an author, and he wrote Waiting to Exhale and How Stella Got Her Groove Back, to name a few. Big success there, and is 70 years old today. Actor Zac Efron.
Yes.
Turns 34 years old.
You don't want to like him, but you have to, because he's actually pretty cool.
Yep. Hairspray, it's kind of where he got started. Or was he in
High School Musical?
High School Musical, thank you, Casey. Then he was in the Neighbors movies and 17 Again.
What was the movie he did with De Niro? Case was it?
It's like Bad Grandpa.
Something similar.
Yeah.
War with Grandpa?
Mm-mm.
War with Grandpa was that local kid.
Local kid, yeah. De Niro's had like three or four Grandpa
Dirty
movies.
Grandpa.
Dirty Grandpa. Yeah, something like that. Okay. But he is really funny in it.
So he's 34 today. Frida Pinto, who was in Slumdog Millionaire.
Great movie.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I think that's one of my favorite movies. Slumdog Millionaire, yeah.
I need to see it.
Yeah. It's one of
those,
saw it.
No, it's one of those I never did see.
Well, when you do see it.
Danny Boyle, right?
Yes. Yeah. We had him in the studio to promote it. If you want to sound cool, just call it Slumdog. Never say Millionaire.
He is 37 today. Skier Lindsay Vonn turns 37 years old.
She was with Tiger for a long time, right?
Yeah, they were a hot item. And then the last birthday is composer Howard Shore, who brought us the Lord of the Rings score.
Preston,
yes?
Wake up, Preston. It's time to get into work and entertain the radio listeners of Philadelphia and the surrounding areas.
But the sun's not up.
With the streaming, you could entertain the world.
The sun's not up yet, Gandalf.
Sun will be up in due time.
Okay.
Now you skedaddle on to work and don't forget your pre-packed lunch.
He knows you so well.
I did pack my lunch last night. What else has he done, Nick? He's done a whole bunch of stuff.
He did the movie Philadelphia.
I played Magneto.
He didn't play Magneto.
Not Ian McKellen. Howard Shore did the movie Philadelphia by Jonathan Demme and lots of others.
Okay. So he turns 75 years old today. Did he do? Wait, hold on. Go back a second.
He did Big.
He did The Fly.
Yes.
Scanners. Videodrome.
Oh, so he's a big Cronenberg guy.
Yeah, Big. Yeah, a whole bunch of stuff, man. Okay. Happy 75th to him. All right, let's see if you know the answer to this question this morning. Was the fairy godmother transform into a coach in Cinderella? Very easy question this morning, and we will go to Derek for the answer. Yo, Derek.
Great morning!
Yes! Nice energy, Derek. Do me a favor and tell me what the fairy godmother transformed into a coach for Cinderella.
Well, perfect time of the season. That would be a pumpkin.
That is correct. Hang on, Dave. We're going to give you a pair of tickets for Pop Rocks ABBA. Mamma Mia and more. It's Wednesday, November 17th at the Kimmel Center, and you can hear the Pop's signature sound on the hits of one of the greatest selling bands of all time, ABBA. You can get tickets at phillypops.org/WMMR. And by the way, Marissa's going to be introducing the show that night.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
She will be on stage for that whole thing. All right, let's see. At the box office, not a big surprise. Number one movie in the country was Halloween Kills, and it pulled in $50 million. Which is a nice amount because it's streaming as well, right?
That's how I saw it. I saw it on Peacock and enjoyed it.
No Time to Die was second, followed by Venom, Let There Be Carnage. The Addams Family 2 came in fourth, followed by The Last Duel. Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings was sixth.
You saw that?
I did, and I enjoyed it big time, man. Yeah. Very happy that I went to go see that. Free Guy was seventh, followed by Lamb, Dear Evan Hansen, and the number 10 spot was filmed by Candyman. All right, Kourtney Kardashian, Travis Barker are engaged.
It is true.
He popped the question at a beachside hotel in Montecito on Sunday.
Wow. Somebody's getting married.
Images show that
of course I will.
The scene was set with candles and a heart-shaped ring of roses.
I wonder why any of them get engaged and married anymore.
Like, so they can provide subject matter for the reality show.
Well, I know, but I mean, like, at this point, just date, and hop around to wherever you want.
I don't get it, because this is not going to last.
Yeah, I mean, like Kathy's saying, I mean, I know what you're saying, Steve, obviously, they're going to make it big because of the show, but, you know, you wouldn't do it just for that, because you're taking on a huge financial responsibility. Well,
and depends on the kind of deal that the lawyers work.
Well, that's what I was saying. The document that they sign must be so easy for them to just end the marriage whenever they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably part of the party, too. Like, nope, I want to have another party with a giant heart in the middle of a beach. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, this is a pretty amazing setup that they did. Yeah.
How many dozens of flowers? That's hundreds of dozens flowers, it looks like.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Look at it.
Oh, my God.
It's huge. It's gigantic, like almost, funeral bouquets that are put out in the shape of a gigantic heart.
Yes. Astonishing.
It's massive.
Well, we're watching a video of this whole thing unfold, and there are camera people all over the place. But what bothers me most is not one person on this beach is wearing, like, beach
attire.
It's cold.
Is it?
Yeah, look, they're all wearing coats and stuff like that.
Yeah, it looks like it's chilly.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
That one chick had a skirt on or whatever.
And did you see what he arranged? He arranged to have 20 whales beach themselves, Preston.
It was in Montecito. Is that in Southern California?
No, north is
north. So yeah, it gets colder up there.
Yeah.
So, and it looked like it was, a dusk.
Overcast.
So,
yeah.
Kardashian posted photos of the engagement to her Instagram page with the caption, "Forever Travis Barker."
No, I'm wrong. It's not too far from Santa Barbara. I was thinking of a different town.
Okay. So anyhow, the Rocker's 15-year-old daughter, Alabama Barker, revealed some behind-the-scenes images of the couple engagement dinner. On her Instagram story, including a picture of the reality star's giant ring featuring a massive oval diamond.
Is Alabama Barker the one who looks like she's 30 and is posting?
I forgot. Yeah, I guess so, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Like, troubling.
The couple first went public with her romance in February 2021. And this will be Kardashian's first marriage and Travis's third, by the way. And yes, Steve, you are correct. She looks like... in fact, she's got a picture as her avatar as a Bratz doll.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what she looks like, to be honest. So,
well, he's been through a lot. He was, burned in that fire, and she was married to Scott Disick. So
they're engaged. We'll see where this goes. Juliette Lewis is standing by her fellow Hollywood workers and revealing the dark side of the business. The 48-year-old shared a message of support for the International Association of Theatrical Stage Employees. Union representing 150,000 people across entertainment, including electricians, camera operators, costumes, costumers, makeup artists, and so on. On Instagram, she addressed her fellow actors, saying that they should talk about how it's been normal to work 15 to 17-hour days during six-day work weeks.
Wow.
She said, "I personally was conditioned in the TV and film business since teenager to never take a sick day off, or it would cost tens of thousands of dollars, and you'd be labeled problematic. So much so, I've worked through a flu, I've worked through migraines, I've worked through walking pneumonia on Natural Born Killers for 2 weeks where I thought I might die. Apparently, that was always better than speaking up and having them simply shift their schedule around to accommodate a person's health because it just didn't happen." Noting that she is actually thankful for this work ethic as it has, quote, "served me in many areas of my life." She added, "But I'm an actor, so when I think of the crew who shows up hours before actors do and leaves hours after actors do, and are asked to work miracles daily, that's a whole other story that goes beyond a soldier-like work ethic, and that's why all you have to do is read some of the stories." Several other celebrities, including Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, Seth Rogen, and Ben Stiller, have also spoken out in support of these workers.
You know, it's you talk about that, Preston. I was watching SNL over the weekend. The people who build the sets, who bring in the stuff, who load in the stuff and load it out, they're there so much longer than the actors. Yeah. It's a ton of work.
And they make quite a bit less.
Yes, they do.
So this comes as the strike is averted. Saturday, that happened hours before the midnight deadline. According to a spokesman for the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, Jared Gonzalez, he said, "We reached an agreement that will keep the industry working. And at this time, we are not sharing details of the agreement." Demands, including higher pay, improvements to on-set conditions, such as longer rest and meal breaks, and larger contributions to health and pension benefits.
Mm.
According to the IATSE president, Matthew Loeb, said in a written statement, "This is Hollywood, and this is a Hollywood ending. Our members stood firm. They're tough and united." So they averted the strike.
Good. We didn't want to have to cross the picket line, though there probably wouldn't be one here.
Right. Sean Penn's wife, Australian actress Leela George, has filed for divorce after just over a year of marriage.
This is tearing me up, especially because I had no idea he was married.
George, who is 29, filed for dissolution in Los Angeles Superior Court on Friday. Penn, who is 61, by the way, she's 29.
Oh, my God. Come on.
And George tied the knot in July of last year during an intimate ceremony with only a few loved ones present.
Is it possible that he accidentally proposed while checking out babysitters?
Rumors of their nuptials started swirling when they were spotted wearing gold rings. Their friends later started congratulating them on Instagram before Penn had confirmed the news. Though Penn and George have been romantically linked since 2016, a friend of the actress told People in August following their nuptials that the pair had reunited earlier in 2020 after a stretch of being on and off.
Hmm.
They had said they got back together and they broke up and Sean won her back. He realized that he had made a mistake and when he felt he might lose her, he worked hard to get her back.
I love you.
The insider added that the time... self-isolating together during the pandemic helped strengthen their connection.
Clearly it helped strengthen their connection.
Penn and George even embarked on humanitarian efforts with each other throughout the public health crisis, including helping setting up testing.
Why are you dead?
Los Angeles.
Strengthened our conviction. Well, that turned around quickly. How long was he married to Robin Wright? Right. That was pretty long, right?
96 to 2010. So,
that's 16 a good run.
Or 14 years.
So this was just a mistake.
Penn split with Charlize Theron in June 2015. And, of course, he was married to Madonna for 4 years, from 1985 to 1989.
Do you imagine he's one of those overly... I mean, he's the artist kind of guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
So do you think he's very mercurial with mood swings and stuff like that?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would imagine, right?
I would think so, yeah.
He probably doesn't have a beer holder in the shower, right?
He has two children from his marriage to Robin Wright, daughter Dylan, who says is 28.
Yeah.
And Hopper, who I don't know how old that
is. Named after Hopper. Dennis Hopper.
Yeah. So...
It is.
Yeah, he is.
He is.
Do you remember when he rented Ed Bassmaster for his son for a weekend?
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
It was like the movie The Toy with Jackie Gleason.
Swear to God.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think about that. I'm like, I think he's a human.
Ed had told us all about it. You know, he was really complimentary to Ed. Was talking about, you know, how what he does is acting and all this other stuff. And then when they got tired of him, they just discarded him and never got back in touch with him again.
It's one of those classic things because it looked like it was going along and Ed was very encouraged about what Sean Penn might have in the works for him.
Exactly.
And then the Haitian earthquake took place and that was that.
Yep. Katie Seagal, the actress, is recuperating after she was clipped by a car in Los Angeles Friday morning. She was crossing the street in a marked crosswalk when she was struck by a car making a left turn. The driver reportedly helped her and called an ambulance. She was taken to a hospital and treated for non-life-threatening injuries. Our representatives told Deadline that she is going to be okay and will be home and was home shortly later on that day. No indication that her injuries will impact production on the Conners where she performs, but the situation remains fluid as she is still recovering. But it was nothing overly serious.
Do you ever have one of those encounters where you're making a left and someone steps out, you know?
It happens.
I wasn't making a left, but I was in the city. We were going to the John Mulaney show. Ended up going to that. And and I'm headed down 15th, and I'm in the left-hand lane.
Yeah.
Traffic stops in the right-hand lane because somebody's, you know, whatever. So I'm going through a green light, and these people decide to walk across it.
It happens all the time.
And I just slam on my brakes. I stop, and I'm like, hey. And I threw my hands up, and they're like, oh, come on. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
I almost hit you. I have a green light. Of course I'm going to be a little bit upset.
Yeah.
I could have taken you out.
Yeah. And then that's on me. I mean, I don't know.
It wouldn't have been on me. It would have been on them. I mean, I would have.
Mentally, it might have been on
hell
you.
Hell yes, it would have scared the hell out
Legally,
of me.
Legally, it would have been your fault, but it would have been their,
it would have been their fault. They were crossing against the light.
Right.
I had a green light, and it's like, I couldn't see you.
Yeah, so sometimes we leave for, you know, not sometimes, we leave for work, and it's dark out, and sometimes... I mean, I almost hit some lady on Belmont. She was essentially dressed like a ninja. I was like, why are you dressed up like
this
right
morning?
Now?
I'm a ninja.
But, Kath, it was last year at some point. But also, that little strip of car that is in between your windshield and your driver's side window.
It obscures things.
It was a big old blind spot. And, I mean, it was, I heard the lady scream through my window. I was that close to hitting her.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't get the wearing dark clothing at night on suburban streets thing.
I've got to tamp down the visibility.
All right, some other stories. A judge has refused to dismiss a criminal case against Jesse Smollett, and his trial will proceed next month. As previously reported, Smollett has been accused of lying to police when he reported that he was a victim of a racist anti-gay attack in downtown Chicago in January of 2019. According to the AP, Smollett's attorney... Nanyi Uchi argued that the actor should not be charged because the case has been dismissed in March of 2019 and Smollett had severed his part of the plea deal, which included community services and forfeited a $10,000 bond. So that will continue.
The one thing that happened with that Jesse Smollett thing is when he was doing the interviews about it afterwards, like... You know, he was acting because all that stuff didn't happen.
Right.
And it was very convincing. Like the tears and everything that he had during those interviews.
How did he not get an Emmy for that?
Something.
At least offer up something.
Right.
Yeah.
I love this. Ryan Reynolds is taking a break from acting, but his wife, Blake Lively, isn't giving him a break from trolling. And I love that these two go back and forth like this. On Instagram, he wrote that after rapping Spirited, co-starring Will Ferrell, he is ready for a little me time. He said, that's a wrap for me on Spirited. Not sure I'd have been ready to say yes to a film this challenging even 3 years ago. Singing, dancing, and playing in the sandbox with Will Ferrell made a whole lot of dreams come true. And it's my second film with the great Octavia Spencer. Perfect time for a little sabbatical for movie making. Now, he added that he is going to miss every second working with this, bless you.
Thank you.
Obscenely gifted group of creators and artists, and that this particular group is flush with both talent and kindness. Now, when Spencer and others told him to enjoy the downtime, his wife, Blake Lively, wrote, Michael Caine did it first. A reference to Michael Caine revealing that he, too, was likely going to take a step back from acting just earlier that day. Which, by the way, he has now come back and said that he's not retiring.
Yes.
Meaning Michael Caine, he is just going to take a little bit of a rest.
Is this a Christmas movie?
You know what? I don't know. Spirited?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
It might be. It's possible.
The title lends itself to that.
Yeah. The Ghost of Christmas Past.
Looks like he's got a Santa jacket on in one of these Instagram photos. Yeah.
Okay.
He did a really cool thing on Instagram. Preston, you mentioned the fact that he was dancing in this movie, and he would thank people who had trained him, dancing, you know, partners and stuff, every week on Instagram. He would just have, like, Dancing Tuesdays. And, Kathy, I was thinking about you when I would scroll through it, because these just enormously talented people, and he would just highlight them a little
bit. That's cool.
You know, once a week on Instagram.
That's cool. Megan Fox and Brian Austin Green have settled their differences and agreed upon the terms of their divorce and custody.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting her back, and he may not want her back at this point. She may not want him back.
Yeah, the pair filed papers Friday and just need a judge to sign off on the deal. They've reportedly agreed on joint legal and physical custody of their three sons. While the pair did not have a prenup because they're in California, that means that anything acquired during their 10-year marriage would be split right in half.
And I get the impression they're both cool with that. They just want to get on.
I think so.
He's actually involved with his dancing coach on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's his girlfriend.
No word on child or spousal report. It says report. I think that means support. But the papers did reference a settlement. They were engaged in 2006, broke things off in 2009, got engaged again in 2010. They married that year. She filed for divorce for two of the papers in 2019. Then filed again last November, and they have both now moved on. Yeah, and the gal that he is with is Sharna Burgess.
There you go. Yeah.
Dancing with the Stars.
So you can't say they didn't give it a try a couple times to keep it, you know, to work
on. Yeah,
they
tried.
They gave it a shot.
They realized, nope, it ain't going to happen. Melissa Joan Hart. Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Yes.
She was on ABC's Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, and as Sunday's episode revealed, she is the first Celebrity Wheel of Fortune $1 million winner.
Hey! Pretty amazing, right?
Wow. So only three other people have ever done it, and never a celebrity, and she is one of them, and it goes to charity. She was squaring off against Tytus Burgess and Lacey Chabert.
That's awesome.
And she said it was super exciting and pretty nerve-wracking. I rarely win game shows. She actually lost an epic 1998 Celebrity Jeopardy match against Fred Savage. Fred won that. The celebrity win puts her in rarefied company. Like I said, there have only been three $1 million wedge winners on the syndicated Wheel of Fortune since its introduction in 2008, and she's right. Now one of them.
So I had heard that this was coming up. I forgot about it and didn't watch. I usually will watch Wheel of Fortune on their primetime edition. I saw one occur, Preston, and it was done so matter-of-factly. The contestant won, and Sajak just goes, oh, you won $1 million.
Yeah.
And,
he wanted to play it down, have some fun that way. Hart had to spin the wheel, land on $1 million wedges twice, and solve both puzzles, all while facing savvy competitors like her longtime friend, Lacey Chabert, who had to solve the show's first puzzle without any clues, and she did that fine. Hart had sharpened her skills playing the Wheel of Fortune app for weeks.
Wow.
While putting her youngest son, Tucker, to bed each night. She said, I wasn't going to be in there blind. I'm a prepared person. The homework was key to solving the winning bonus puzzle round, and it was Bran Muffin.
Bran Muffin.
Yes.
Sometimes do you watch it at all?
From time to time. It's been a while, but it was a regular. Rochelle was really good at it, so I would watch her dominate.
And sometimes at the end, they'll pick all the wrong letters, and you'll have this. Sometimes it's a massive, like a phrase, and there'll be just two letters on it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is no way. But other times, it's almost all filled in.
It's wild when they have no clues.
Yes.
Nothing comes
out. And they get it.
And they get it.
Yeah.
I'm blown away by that. So you listen to it, you know, if you use the category and kind of do your smarts that way, it can lead you in the right direction.
Did you, on a side observation here, Kathy, you saw the Muppets Christmas thing on...
yeah, I watched some of it,
Not the Christmas, Halloween thing.
Halloween.
Pat Sajak is in it. He's one of the...
nice.
Yeah, he's one of the guests, the ghosts. I'm going to learn how to talk in a little while.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll mess up for you, and it'll all
work out.
So I kind of miss when they would, in between puzzles, they would have to take their winnings and, like, buy a grandfather.
Yeah, buy
a grandfather clock.
Buy the crap that they have on stage. Here's an alarm clock for $55,000.
I'll take
really?
The two ceramic elephants for $4,500.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Salt and pepper shaker for $2,000.
She is giving the money, a total of $1,039,800 for Youth Villages, a charity group that helps emotionally and behaviorally troubled children and their families.
That's awesome.
That's excellent. Good for her, ma'am. Speaking of good on you, Tony Bennett has just set a Guinness World Record for the oldest person to release an album of new material with his most recent Love for Sale collaboration with Lady Gaga, which came out October 1st.
This is quite an honor.
Bennett
was... Because I have another world record for shot put.
95 years and 60 days old when it came out. I recently watched a segment that Anderson Cooper did with him. It's sad.
Is it? I'm so sad to hear that.
He still sings like nobody's business.
But in conversation?
And once the music comes on, boom, he turns it on. But you know what it reminds me of, Steve, is when... Somebody is just so exhaustingly tired.
Right, right.
And they're just like, you know, you ask them a question and they're just like, I don't know. You know, I can't think right now. You know, that type of thing.
Santa's got to go.
You know, so it's sad. He's, there's a scene where he and his wife are sitting there and she talks about something. He just goes, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, and it's sad to see because up until not that long ago.
He was doing well.
He was doing great.
How old is he again, Preston?
He's 95.
So he's... Listen,
he's lived a hell of a life.
My dad is that age, and he is sharp. He's, you know, and I mean, that's what you wish for. If you're going to talk about a quality of life, to have that the sharpness. However, if music brings him joy.
Yes, and it does.
Yes, then that's a wonderful thing.
He doesn't forget any lyrics at all. He can sing anything once the music starts.
There was a friend of the woman who helped when my wife and I got married in Puerto Rico. It was a destination wedding, and Claire's aunt down there, or, you know, not by family, but they just called her aunt. She had a friend who was basically going through a dementia, and she basically every day was a happy new experience. So it was a wonderful thing for some. That's the good one to have.
Yeah, my buddy's father had the angry, scared thing.
Oh God!
And that's torture.
Yeah,
that's horrible, especially when you see a loved one going through that. So anyhow, in 2011, Bennett and Gaga recorded the song "The Lady's a Tramp," and 3 years later, they released a collaborative album entitled "Cheek to Cheek." And according to Guinness, Bennett holds four other records. Oldest person to reach number one on the U.S. album chart with a newly recorded album for Cheek to Cheek. Longest time between U.K. top 20 albums, which is 39 years. Oldest person to enter the U.K. top 20 album chart with duets, an American classic, when he was 80. And longest time between the release of an original recording and a re-recording of the same single by the same artist. Bennett recently announced his performance with Lady Gaga at Radio City Music Hall last August would be his last, as he, of course, is suffering from Alzheimer's. But
if you watch Lady Gaga,
hell of a career.
Oh, my God, yeah. If you watch Lady Gaga with him, she is completely wonderful, like maternal and caring and protective, and it's a wonderful relationship.
Yep, agreed. So let's see here. Superman is now about truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. The new motto replaces truth, justice, and the American way.
They didn't do No Sad Bro?
I think should it. Truth, justice, and No Sad Bro? How can you not get behind that? DC Chief Creative Officer and publisher Jim Lee said at the DC Fandome fan event on Saturday that they did this to better reflect the storylines that we are telling across DC and to honor Superman's incredible legacy of over 80 years of building a better world. Superman's motto is evolving, he said. He said, Superman has long been a symbol of hope who inspires people, and it is that optimism and hope that powers him forward with this new mission statement.
They had briefly flirted with D's nuts. And they
truth, justice, and D's nuts, as he's pointing down. I love that.
At that Fandome D's thing, nuts. That DC Fandome thing, they unveiled the new Batman trailer.
Okay.
Which looks sensational.
Yeah.
And the Flash movie, which looks sensational. And Black Adam.
Yep. Yeah, which really I have good. Right here. Yeah. So it's been 20 since the years since The Rock burst onto screens as the Scorpion King, as a villain, of course. And now Dwayne Johnson is playing a bad guy again. In the first Black Adam footage unveiled at the DC Fandome, Johnson takes on the power of Shazam as one of DC Comics' baddest bad guys. And he said, the truth is, I was born to play Black Adam. And this was at a virtual fan event, he said, promising viewers huge action sequences and breathtaking, and I quote, breathtaking holy S scenes. Johnson revealed an early scene from the film in which archaeologists make the mistake of zapping Black Adam with a bolt of lightning. The hooded figure promptly, turns a dude to dust, catches a bullet in midair, and then takes to the sky as the title appears.
A bolt of lightning.
Black Adam is set to premiere July 29th, 2022. Pierce Brosnan will be in it as well, in the original cast, some of the original cast members.
Did you get to see any of the trailers, Preston?
No.
Oh, I think they'll rock your world. I think you'll be very excited.
I loved Shazam. I thought they did such a great job.
I liked it a lot.
It was they took it in a couple different directions, which is what you just have to do with the Marvel Universe being out there. You gotta You gotta try something else, and they had some fun with it.
They did.
What's his name? Levi or Zachary Levi is just phenomenal in it.
He's perfect choice.
Yes.
So all right. So this is essentially Shazam 2, but they're calling it Black Adam.
Correct.
Well, there is a second Shazam. Right? Well, is it not? There's a Shazam sequel they're working on as well.
Well, that's a good question, Casey. You know what? Yeah, because it mentions here that, who else is in this?
That comes out in 2023, Shazam.
So this is not going to involve? So
Black Adam is, from what I understand, and I'm not well-versed in that stuff.
Neither am I.
But I'll tell you this. I understand he's actually sort of an anti-hero.
He's a bad guy.
A hero who's actually... So he's a bad guy, but he's also a hero.
Okay,
does that make any sense?
So Pierce Brosnan is going to play Dr. Fate, and I don't know who that is. You're in a branch of this universe that I just never really went to much.
I tended to hang a lot in the Justice League realm.
But I am open to check this out. So yeah, Nick, pull up the cast
for Shazam 2?
No, for Black Adam.
Oh, okay,
and I just want to see if Zachary Levi is in that at all. Or not, because I think it might be right. This is a completely different thing. It looks totally different.
There you go.
All right, rock on.
See you right there, Lisa Vanderpump.
Created by Otto Binder and CC Beck in 1945, Black Adam was a bad guy in the original Captain Marvel series, published by Fawcett Comics. DC later rebranded the old Captain Marvel, paving the way for the 2019 film Shazam. Starring Zachary Levi, Johnson was originally supposed to appear in that film, but Black Adam was spun off into its own film. There you have it, which he describes as a passion project.
Okay, so Nick, if you can do a little quick research, does he have hero-like qualities, Black Adam, at all, or is he just...
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, he gets zapped by lightning and then...
A bolt of lightning.
Yeah, and then it says here, the description is he turns a guy to dust and catches a bullet in midair and takes to the sky.
All right.
He's got the powers. And also some other movies from DC. As you said, Steve the Batman. That'll be Robert Pattinson alongside Zoe Kravitz and Colin Farrell. The sequel to Aquaman and The Lost Kingdom is also underway. And The Flash, as you said, Ezra Miller is the Scarlet Speedster, is reported to unite the multiverse with Ben Affleck's Batman and Michael Keaton's Batman and all that good stuff.
In the trailer, Preston, there's a scene where they're there and you just see from the back, it's clearly Keaton's Batman cowl stepping into the scene. And he
narrates it, right? Michael Keaton narrates the...
That's my understanding.
The Flash.
Might very well be, yeah.
The Flash trailer.
The new Flash, his uniform, his costume is terrific.
Who is Ezra Miller playing in The Eternals? Because he plays a fast guy in that too, right?
Does he?
I didn't know. I thought that was the case. So I saw the trailer for that when I was out to see Shang-Chi this weekend, and now I'm
Ezra Miller's in The Eternals as well.
And I don't know...
No.
I thought he was in it.
No, he's not.
Ezra Miller's not in The Eternals?
No.
There's a guy that kind of looks like him. I know who you're talking about.
Damn it, I'm way off today.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, never mind. Listen, this is
don't
not,
listen
we
to
didn't
me.
Hang in this area. You know, we hung more core stuff. This is more peripheral. I did not know a lot about The Eternals.
No, one of the Stark boys is in it, and Kumail Nanjiani.
Right. Yeah. Rob Stark is in it. Kit Harington's also in it. Preston, there's a dude who looks like Ezra Miller in it, but it's not Ezra Miller.
Well, then I stand corrected. Programming note.
We're only human.
Yeah. All right, we
born
are...
Born to make mistakes.
We are ready for... clips. That's Human League.
Thank
what
you.
Band is that?
I thought it was Billy Joel.
No, it's Human League.
Born to make mistakes.
You're thinking.
You're only human. You're born to make mistakes.
These tears of crying, not tears of pain.
No?
I know that song too, yes.
Is that the same lyric?
I don't know.
I think it's the same words, right?
It's close.
Did Ezra Miller sing that?
Did Human League cover Billy Joel?
Well, Billy Joel says you're supposed to make mistakes at one point.
Yeah. Artistic differences.
So here we go.
Okay.
What?
Thank you. In Needle in a Time Stack, Nick and Janine are torn apart by an ex-lover who warps time, causing Nick to ask himself what he's willing to sacrifice to save everything that he loves.
This is very personal to you, this story.
Yes, it is. I've pored over this. In this clip, Jaden Wong talks about what made her choose to work on this project. Here we go.
I think for me, like with this project, I was really pulled in to just sort of the adventurous spirit of Zoe. Like that really sort of resonated for me. And also just the exploration of the sibling dynamic between Zoe and Nick.
Shut the up, huh?
Needle in a Time Stack is out in theaters now. It's funny. I saw a needle in a nutsack.
That's about a urologist, Preston. Yeah.
when I started working on Needle in a Nutsack, I thought, I don't like the title of this at all.
It doesn't sound fun. Yeah,
but it's a very wonderful story.
Here's the next clip. A college student chauffeuring two mysterious women across L.A. uncovers their dark and bloodthirsty intentions and finds himself fighting to stay alive in night teeth. Here, Lucy Fry talks about playing a vampire again.
It was super fun, and I feel like this time it was a lot more playful and tongue-in-cheek and action-oriented. The first time when I did the Vampire and Vampire Academy, it was a lot more like a teen movie and that like kind of youthful, and my character was a lot more innocent, and she didn't fight or anything, and Zoe is super tough.
What? Night Teeth is out on Netflix this Wednesday, by the way.
Isn't that a Bob Seger song?
No, that's Night Moves.
Oh.
And there's Main Street.
Right. Main Teeth.
Main Teeth, maybe it. I don't know. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the entertainment
for somewhat usable information.
Oh, God.
Come on. There's a lot of, there's only so much that we can do here.
Just horrible.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there watching it. We went to see Shang-Chi in the Ten Rings, and I'm sitting there next to my son, Parker, and the trailer for the Eternals come up, and I go, Flash is in this movie.
Oh, my God.
I'm such an idiot.
I make these assumptions. Let that pass?
Well, yeah, I mean, so the movie's going on. I just said it real quick.
You paid for his ticket, too.
Yeah, so he knows better.
You don't fuck the system.
Just let Dad have this.
Yeah.
All right. We should take a break. Come back. When we return, we have an announcement about a show thing that we want to pass along to you that I think you will like. We're excited about it.
You like things, right?
Yeah, if you like things, you'll love this. And money clips, too. If you like money, you'll like that as well. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Glad you asked.
Eddie Vedder. Dorothy. Coheed and Cambria.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I got a text that says I was looking forward to this flashy new announcement. That's how Marissa posted it in our Instagram tease for this. But yes, we have an announcement concerning the Preston and Steve Show. And while this may be news to you, some people have figured it out on their own ahead of time, which is fine.
I had somebody pull up in front of my house the other day and said, thank you for what you're about to announce.
Yeah. Okay, so we are officially rolling this out. We've kind of been, as they call it, beta testing it lately, which means we just started doing it without telling anybody about it. But now, the Preston and Steve Show is streaming live on YouTube every single day. That is correct. So, everything that you hear on your radio, you will now be able to see in the form of a live stream on YouTube. We have, for years, been doing the Preston and Steve Daily Rush, which is compiled after the program and put together and posted up on YouTube. But now, if you want to peek into the magic of the Preston and Steve studios,
everything,
you can do it live. And we have, for explanations, our video god, Nick Murphy! Yay! Good morning, Nick Murphy.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. May I, number one, compliment you on your latest adventurous hair that you've been going for, which now you can see streaming on YouTube. Nick's gone for a shorter crop on the sides and a little product-induced poof on the top.
An homage. Yeah, to Lyle Lovett, I would say, right?
Yeah, that he's
your muse.
Personal hero. And Adam ruins everything, too, as well. Yeah. There's a little bit of that thrown in there.
Yeah. Just trying to put on good hair vibes.
I like it. Man,
thanks.
I'm picking up on your
appreciate
vibe.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, so this streaming thing has been in the works for a long time now, right?
Yeah, we've been kind of working on it in the background. We used to stream kind of like when we'd have big guests in or musical performances on our website.
Camp Out for Hunger, we did it.
And then we were just like, we should just be doing this all the time. And the small times that we have done it, people have responded very positively. So we want to jump on it.
And we needed some puzzle pieces that were missing as far as equipment goes, right?
Yeah, there's some technical things we needed to work out. Everybody's streaming like pandemic-wise now. But, this is a big operation. There's just a lot of weird little jigsaw pieces that need to be put together. And it just takes time to put it all together.
Part of the deal.
Yep.
I remember about a year ago during Camp Out for Hunger, we streamed a lot. And people started picking
picking up on it and realizing that they could watch the show, you know, see the guests that were coming on mostly via Zoom last year and really responding positively. And so I think we sort of took that and realized maybe we can do this back here. And now here we are today.
Yeah, and I think the way we're doing it is really nice. When we go to commercial, we're playing older clips. We have, you know, a decade worth of, you know, things that
video.
We can show. Yeah, yeah, we can show in between stuff, which is a lot of fun.
Yep. And there's some tricks that have to be done as far as if we're playing licensed music or things, right, during the show. Yeah. You might see some things that happen,
yeah,
that you've done a patch for, right?
Yeah, that's the one thing that YouTube is kind of rough with. They don't really like copyrighted music, and they don't like when you do it. So we had to find some creative workarounds for when we play some music on the show.
And then if we're going to be doing Zoom interviews, do we have that availability yet to put their video up?
We're close to that.
There yet.
You'll be able to hear the audio, and then you know, hopefully in the future, probably post camp out, we'll be able to have.
Okay. Well, when we do that, let's put a bobblehead on a locked camera and just make sure that
it's shaking when they're talking.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's actually.
And did Newman University kind of help out a little bit?
Super big thanks to Newman University. They have been a great partner, you know, for years with Camp Out, with other things, and now with this venture, they're a big partner for
us. They've upped the game on so much, and they've been very, they've been wonderful. I mean, really, and also. They're students who come and will man cameras and handle things at the camp out and stuff.
Yep.
They're tremendous.
Yeah, if you're into video stuff, you're into broadcasting, into any kind of like production stuff, they're a great resource in this area.
Yeah.
And, I highly recommend checking out their college. Their setup is amazing.
Excellent. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Nick Murphy. Thanks, we are now streaming on YouTube. So if you hear something you want to see, then you can just tune in. Or like some texts are coming in, you know, somebody's been doing it, stumbled across it a couple weeks ago, and they were like, thank God I listen in Pittsburgh. And this is, our radio sucks out here, and we'd like to check you guys out. And so they're doing it on YouTube.
Court, and you can always continue streaming if you're busy in the morning, whatever. Yeah. Or just listen on the good old radio.
We love that. Any way, shape, or form that you decide to consume the Preston and Steve Show, we appreciate. So thank you very, very much. It's just another added dimension to our program. And you get to see Kathy's makeup applications.
Ooh, thank you.
Yeah.
But she glosses right before we go on.
We tactfully cut away, as we said during the commercials, so we can do this stuff. Like, we tend to like to feel each other up, and that would not be appropriate.
It's not appropriate for you to see.
You would see all of that.
All right. Speaking of Kathy, there's an interesting story that you shared with us about your contact lenses.
Yeah. So I've been wearing contacts. I forgot to call my mom and ask her, but she knows the exact grade I was in. Maybe it was either sixth grade or eighth grade. I forget. I wore glasses in elementary school. And then eventually when I was old enough, like, we went to contacts and it was like a game changer for me. And
was it elementary school when you switched to contacts?
No, I think it was like middle school? I switched to contacts. All yeah. Right. When I was old enough to do it myself. And, you know, first they were hard contacts and you'd use that little plunger to put them in your eyes. Like, I've been doing this my entire life, and they've changed over the years. There's now these, you know, very thin, breathable, soft contacts that I've been wearing for years and years and years.
Disposable, right?
Disposable. Yeah. I wear them, you know, during the day, and then just before I go to bed, I throw them out. But they come in, so I get big packs of them, and they come in strips of five. And so each day I have to pull, you know, one contact off, one for the right, one for the left. And for years, I'm like, this is so stupid. Like, the way that they have this all connected, because when you pull it off, sometimes you're pulling off the next day's contact. You're opening it up. So now that's sitting there open, and it is sitting in solution, but it can't be good for it to be open to the air for an entire day before I wear it. So, like, I'd have to, like, carefully do it, and then I was getting scissors, and I was cutting them. I'm like, this is really dumb. Like, why can't they just make an easy way for you to pull off the day's contact? Well, just recently, I realized I've been doing it wrong the entire time.
God.
So you can actually snap it off, but you have to just snap it like you would take a pretzel stick, and you just snap it. I was doing it backwards. I was doing it the opposite way, so it was kind of like tearing, and I was pulling off
friggin' thing,
the foil that's on the top and exposing the contact, when all I had to do was snap, and there's your day's contact.
And the reason I wanted her to bring this story up is because I want to hear from you What did you at some point find out you had been doing wrong your entire life? I thought it was done this way. Yeah. And nobody ever bothered to show me that this way is much easier. And this is how you're actually supposed to do it, whatever
you,
that
you
may
feel
be.
So stupid.
And yes. I was like folding them and like creasing it and trying to like pull it apart like nice, like you would do with like a piece of paper. You know, you'd do like a nice tear.
Right.
I would do that every day. No, you didn't have to fold. You didn't have to crease. All you did was snap it. Like there was lines already there and you just snap it off.
So easy.
So easy. Thank God they thought of this years ago.
Is this what we're seeing here in the studio?
Yeah, so we're looking at a picture in the studio. That's exactly it. So the way that it's sitting like that, that's how I was trying to tear it. But if you turn it the other way and you just pull down on one of the contacts, it pops
just
right
snaps
off.
Right off.
Snaps right off.
You don't have these years.
No,
I
don't.
You've been living a lie.
In case I don't have any with me, no. So easy.
And now... So you've wasted all that time, all those contacts of just trying to do it your own way.
I mean, I wear them every single day, so I can't waste them. So, like I said, I was using scissors, like running downstairs and grabbing scissors in the morning. Like it just was, you know, like a stupid added process that I didn't need when all I had to do was snap it off. Yeah, but I mean, when I've been wearing contacts since I was a kid.
For years.
I can't see without them. So I've been wearing them for years. And yeah, just figured this out.
It says, Kathy, what brand? Here's a text. Is it AccuView Moist? Okay.
Yes.
Moist.
It says one raged about this as well. I don't know what one means.
But. Oh, so maybe so they raged about it as well because it would tear. Yeah, it's because you're probably doing it wrong like I did for years.
Several people are texting in and say, like, Casey's wiping.
Exactly. Wiping in the wrong direction.
Dude, I'm a changed man.
When you put contact lenses in your ass, which way do you do it?
I don't.
Yeah.
But. I feel like I need to change that up. I was thinking
about...
you're
not liking it anymore?
No. I'm talking about that. No. Are we talking about contact lenses?
No,
we're
talking
about
both.
I'm talking about contact lenses. I was actually thinking about doing that because I am...
Oh, getting contacts?
Yeah.
Have you ever worn them?
No. No, but I wear glasses now, and I probably should wear them more often than I do. And my sunglasses. I just spent a whole bunch of money on new sunglasses, but I need prescription sunglasses.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I figure if I just put contacts in, then I don't have to worry about prescription sunglasses.
I don't know. You want me to take a look?
Yeah. Have you talked to your optometrist about it?
No.
Okay.
Talk to your optometrist.
Probably talk to your optometrist because Kathy's got really bad vision. Like, needs them.
I can't go out of the house without them. Like, I wouldn't be able to. We did a contest. Remember, I sat in the guest.
Oh, yeah.
At the guest mic, and I took my contacts out, and you guys brought people into the studio
she
door.
She couldn't recognize
And them. I had to identify them.
That's right.
I think I only got a few.
That's funny. Hang on, doing things wrong your entire life. I'm going to go to Rob. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Yeah, hi, what's up?
Yeah, bud, just want to hear your story. What's going on, brother?
So up until I was like 25 years old, I'd been tying my shoes wrong my whole life.
Oh, wow. What method were you using? How were you doing it?
I might blow a bunch of people's minds, right?
Yeah.
Like, traditionally, you make your bunny ear, you go around it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go through the hole and you pull it tight, right?
Right.
And then if you want to keep them from coming untied, you do a double knot, right?
Right, yes. All good.
We're on the same page. If you go around the loop that you make twice and then go through the hole and cinch it down, they never come untied.
Okay, it's kind of like a double knot, I guess.
It's not really. It's like it's almost like a double clove hitch versus a single clove hitch. I'm getting too technical here. I apologize.
It's okay. I'm sort of losing it, but
I'm trying it.
But you know what? That was simple. That was a methodology. That's not like, in other words, like with Kathy's thing, there was a way that was absolutely set in place. What do you think, Kath?
No.
Okay. Kathy's refuting your theory, Rob.
No, it comes undone easy.
So, no, it's cinches. Then you're doing it wrong. It cinches closed.
Well, we're on YouTube now. Hold your foot up to the camera so that Rob can see how you're doing.
You know what, though?
See if your elbows can tuck down in your back.
Okay, let me just explain a little bit deeper. My mom taught me to tie my shoes, right? And then one day when I was 25, my dad, who wore combat boots his whole life, said, "You're doing it wrong." Huh. Why didn't you teach me when I was five?
Thanks, because I wanted you to be a man.
I had seen this thing.
Thanks, Rob.
I saw this thing recently on one of the social medias that all right, listen, it doesn't take that long to tie your shoes, but there is this way, and it might be the way he was describing, that it takes like half the time it takes you to tie your shoe, and they will never come untied.
When you're late for like that this, board meeting,
yeah,
right? No, so what's the methodology? Because to me, the I've been using the standard, like he said, the one knot or a double knot if you don't want them to come undone, yeah. And you're good to go.
Yeah, I don't, I saw it on social media. I didn't ever try it, but when I saw it,
what
I was like,
what is it?
Kath, if somebody, I don't know.
Oh, you don't know what the tie is.
What are you grilling me for?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't remember, but I saw it. I probably was wearing sandals at the time when I was watching it, so I couldn't actually put it into practice.
Is it legit, though? Because I'm getting tired of these, like you see them on TikTok, these life hacks mm-hmm. that are so stupid. Like, Preston, the one that's the edge of the Ritz cracker that you're supposed to use to cut the cheese. Come on, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
That's just found something.
Yeah,
else
and you
to
want
to
get on TikTok. Yeah.
Here's a text. Listen to this. It says, my whole life, I hated shrimp.
Oh, no.
Until
oh, my God.
In my 30s, my wife pointed out, you're not supposed to eat the tails.
Oh, my God.
Very sharp and crunchy. That's from Adam in Coatesville. That is making me cringe thinking of that right now. By the way, why do they even leave the tails on there in the first place? Is that just because...
To make it look like a shrimp?
A shrimp cocktail, and it's a little handle that you can use.
Right.
Some of you guys don't like the bones and things like that in chicken and so on?
Right.
I don't like the crustacean skin, the tails.
The exoskeleton.
I can't stand it.
Does it come... Is there an option for it to come without it?
Tail of shrimp?
No, well, not when you're getting like a shrimp cocktail.
Right,
if it's in pasta or something like that, the tails will be gone. But
so maybe it is like a little handle for you.
It took me forever to figure out how to get all of that shrimp meat out of there.
It's satisfying when you do.
It is, isn't it? You just pinch it.
I know.
And it's so much easier to get it out.
Yeah, but the tail? Time,
I would bite that off and go, man.
I know.
There's some left in there.
It's like when there's still crab meat or lobster meat left inside the shell. And you're like, what the hell?
That's been the big deterrent for me with lobster and shrimp and all that stuff. The amount of prep. Anything you have to scrape the crap out of.
There's more prep in like crab legs. Like I love crab legs, but it takes a lot of effort.
Too much.
Yeah, I'm with you.
By the way, this posting says leaving the tails on makes the food more attractive. So, Steve, yes, it makes it look nice.
Makes it look pretty.
And it says it adds flavor to the dish. It makes the shrimp look larger. Larger.
It's easier. It's for
smiling
the
at me. It's a crunchy and tasty addition. No, it's not crunchy. Don't eat it. That's disgusting.
Then do you eat the shell of the lobster?
I guess so. Yeah. It's like
Daryl Hannah.
Yeah, in Splash.
Yeah.
Somebody else texted in. They knew someone who swallowed toothpaste for 20 years.
Oh my God.
That's gross.
So a mouthful of toothpaste. Well, now, is there a medical issue with doing that?
I don't think so.
Probably that little amount, I don't think so.
Because I will ice a cake with that occasionally if
Ooh.
I...
Ooh, minty fresh.
What kind of icing is this? Oh, it's Colgate.
Let me see here. I'm going to go to Frank. Hi, Frank. Good morning.
Is this the Hall of Fame Preston and Steve show?
Almost. We get inducted in a week from Friday, but you can call us that if you want to.
Right. Never mind, I'm hanging up.
What? I don't blame you. What's up, man?
So I was working in a warehouse, and we all know what a pallet jack is, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, those things lift up, but I didn't know that.
They do? You didn't know that?
Well, I didn't. Well, I might have knew, but I just didn't know how to do it. Well, no, I didn't know. I didn't know. And I was just dragging a pallet around the floor, but nobody said anything.
So to explain what he's talking about, if you ever see a pallet, it actually, the prongs go in. Yep. And you can raise the pallet a little bit off the ground so you can move it around. So you were just sliding these things all over the floor?
Dude, people thought I was, like, super strong. I got, like, I got really ripped in, like, 2 weeks.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
No, right. That's, well, there you go.
You learned.
I can understand, though, not a lot of people encounter pallet jacks on a daily basis.
No.
Yeah.
That's a little out of the ordinary, so... But I find it funny that Kathy, after all those years, didn't know this about the contacts. Here's something not quite the same, but if you ever get like a single, like if you go to a convenience store at the airport and you need to get, like some Tylenol or Advil or something like that, they sell them in the little packet that just says two.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, now you're in my territory. You're in my thing that I hate the most, so please instruct.
So there's a little secret on how to open those. If you'll notice in the upper corner, in one of the corners, there's a small little slit. Now, the slit doesn't go all the way to the corner. And until I read how you do it, I didn't know.
How do you do
it? You fold the corner down, Steve, and that then, it, you'll have to see it for it to make sense.
All right.
I can make a little diagram here for you.
Can you set up a little diorama using dead mice?
By the way, Casey's tying his shoes right now.
Okay.
I found the video. I can't believe it.
All right, so, Steve, so let's say, this is a, hey, if you're streaming,
you can
you'll be able to see this on YouTube. So there's a little slit here.
Right.
What you do is you fold the corner down like this.
Okay.
And then you can tear it.
I've done that.
And it works so much easier.
It does. But it also doesn't work sometimes. And it's also very frustrating.
It's frustrating when you can't open it.
So I open, we get big bags of cat food. And they say, okay, you know, there's a special way mid-bag you're supposed to push in and lift up. And it opens up a flap that never works. The directions are completely ridiculous and it never works. If someone has broken that code or can shoot an instructional video for me using lighting and extras, I would like to see that.
Please. I will go to Tyler. Hey, Tyler, good morning.
Good morning, it.
Good morning, it, sir. What's going on?
Well, up until I was about 20 years old, I ate sunflower seeds wrong. I just figured they were like Doritos or chips where you just open them up and you pop them in, you chew them, and then you swallow them.
So you were eating the whole...
I was eating the whole thing.
You're not alone.
No.
We just got a text that was very similar.
Okay, so there's something that's similar. Edamame, a lot of people will eat the...
The outer
the
part?
The outer, yes. My niece was doing that.
It's all tough. And by the way, Tyler, when you would poop the next day, did you have shells coming out whole in your stool?
Oh, geez. I mean, I started doing that when I was a kid, probably like 11, 12 years old. I had my mom take me to the doctor. I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And then they're just like, yeah, you need to crack those open. There's a seed inside of that.
Dude, how do you eat coconuts?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I can see that, though, Tyler.
Jesus Christ.
Thank you, by the way, because you're a pain in the ass to eat. But that's
literally
why at the at a ball game, you'll see like a giant mass of spit-laden seeds because people will chew the seeds up in their mouth, get the little seed out, and then just spit the outer shell out onto the ground in front of them.
Seed in the Naked Gun with the pistachios.
Right, right. Only these have been kind of already chewed up and run through.
Again, that's work. It's a lot of work for little yield.
So Carter, my son, recently made pumpkin soup. It's something he likes to do this time of year. And then he took the seeds and he roasted those and mixed in a whole bunch of seasonings and stuff and made the tastiest pumpkin seeds I've ever had.
So what are they?
They're so good.
Really good?
Yeah. He's like, like garlic powder and salt and paprika and a bunch of stuff in there. But I got to believe while chewing on those things, that has got to be so fibrously rich.
Right?
Why am I not pooping, like a solid brick?
Like clear. You should poop plexiglass.
Yeah.
Because you're scouring your system basically with Brillo when you're eating that stuff.
I don't know.
I actually, so I love pumpkin seeds and you can eat them whole, but you can kind of crack them open the same way you would a sunflower seed.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you bake and put a little seasoning on shrimp tails? I'd like to do that.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Nicole. We're talking about things you've been doing wrong your whole life. Hi, Nicole. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's up, Nicole?
Well, I went to Catholic school my entire life. I'm from a big Irish Catholic family, and we said the Bless Us, O Lord prayer, even in high school, before every meal in the cafeteria. And one day I was babysitting my nephews, and I was about 27, and they said it before lunch, so I said it with them, and he's Bless Us, O Lord, and these thy gifts. And I'm like, wait, what did you say? And he said, Bless Us, O Lord, and these thy gifts.
Oh, no.
And I always thought it was bless us, O Lord, and ease thy gifts. Like, ease them down your throat so you don't choke. Like,
ease thy gifts down my throat.
Dear Lord, please relax my gag reflex as I take these copious amounts of shrimp tails down my throat.
Oh, that's funny.
Right.
Wow.
From a 5-year-old.
And so you were 27 in your entire life.
Kindergarten was my first day of Catholic school, all the way through 12th grade.
Wow.
So every day.
What was that little aha moment like? Were you slightly embarrassed or?
I was by myself with five and under. So I'm like, wait, these? What are you saying? These?
These?
Like, I couldn't believe it.
I have to look this up. That can't be right.
Yeah. If you little bastards breathe one word of this. Wow.
Yeah,
all right. Thank you, Nicole. Appreciate it. Let me go to another call. I have Jason who's checking in. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. What's up, man?
So, you know those little white paper cups that you see at, like, Arby's for condiments? Like
yeah.
Ketchup or barbecue sauce?
Yeah.
Well, you know you're supposed to pull those apart. The perforations tear apart, and the thing gets, like, you know, it starts, like, a nickel size. It gets, like, a half dollar size, and you can, like, fill it up and be able to dip your stuff in it.
You wait, can.
So you're saying it's almost like pleated pants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're folds.
Exactly.
They're folds.
Exactly.
So you can expand it is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? So those little cups have little pleats in them.
They're teeny tiny.
That's where they expand.
How do you expand it?
So you just kind of, at the rim, you just kind of pull it apart a little bit, and it'll get wider if you want it. You can actually flatten it all the way out if you want to.
Wait, and you do that after you put the condiment in it?
Or he's saying, what Jason is saying, if you want to get more in there, right, Jason?
Yeah, you just kind of open it up a little. You can barely dip a french fry in the one the way it comes, but if you, like, pull it out, you could put, like, chicken, like, anything. It's, like, three times the size, and nobody does it.
Okay.
Nobody.
I actually know about it, and they never do it. Because I'm like, you know, right?
I should do that because when I love, like, if I'm going to have french fries.
Yes.
I love tons of ketchup.
Okay.
And if you're, like, at a ballpark or something like that or a concert or whatever and you've only got, you don't want to do 50 of those things, I need to do that, too. I normally don't, Steve. I forget about it.
You wear glasses. Do you have glasses that come in a case?
I do.
Okay. So then fill that up with ketchup when you go.
Ooh, yeah.
Smart.
So many opportunities to use that.
That's a hack, Press. I'm going to go on TikTok with that hack.
Let me go to Vanessa. Hi there, Vanessa.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What's up, Vanessa?
Well, when I was about 18, went to church with one of my friends. She was Catholic. I was not, because we were going shopping afterwards. And when the time came where everybody stands up and says, peace be with you, and shake hands.
Yes.
I thought they were saying, pleased to meet you.
Oh, yeah. Pleased to meet you.
So I was shaking everybody's hand saying, pleased to meet you, wondering why everybody's looking at me funny. Yes. And my friend is, like, literally under the pew laughing.
Oh, that's funny.
Now face each other and give each other the how's it hanging.
Yeah.
Listen, when not being Catholic, and when I do end up in a Catholic church and that happens, peace be with you is not a natural thing for me to say like it is for you guys who practice that faith. So I would say, how you doing?
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's like, what I'm used to do when I shake hands. Is what? Hey, how you doing?
Well, a lot of people.
That's pretty much it. Just,
and then there are other people.
I don't even think I say it anymore. Like, it's just like a nod because people stop shaking hands during COVID. You know what I mean? And it's just like you give like a nod now.
Can you do a sup?
Yeah, sup.
Well, no, you can sup, still say dog. No. We don't just say sup.
Yo,
yo.
There was a guy.
Pow!
Who was a pow. Yeah. These nuts. No,
not at my church.
There was a guy who would, Kathy, you know these guys, and women will do it too, where they gotta go, peace be with you, everybody in the whole set.
Like,
peace be with you, peace be. All right, we got it. You're a really good Catholic.
There's the people that hug and kiss too, right?
Yes, like, they're called molesters.
No.
Oh, you mean in church?
Like spouses, stop it. Spouses. Like your own family. Yes, Casey, your own family, yeah.
I don't even hug and kiss my own family. I'll kiss my wife. I'll kiss other people's wives, but...
Oh, my God.
Hang on. I don't understand this one. Let me go to another quick call. We get a break here in a second. Hey, Kyle, good morning.
Morning. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Kyle?
My wife's 33 years old. She did not know that the old electric coil-style stoves lift up like a car hood so that you can clean under them.
Yes, they do.
She's trying to, like,
and that was a shock.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what is this now?
It's an electric...
Your oven?
No, the range top.
The range top, the range, exactly.
It lifts up. Like, that's how you clean it.
Underneath it. We went to Home Depot, and she had to go lift them all up.
Oh, one of the older ones. Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
right?
Okay. Yeah, and there's a lot of junk under there.
Yes, sir.
A lot of crumbs.
Grease.
And
dead mice. Stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it. All right. Well, anyhow, Kathy now lives a new life.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be so much easier with your contacts. You can just snap apart.
And there are other people that texted in, so I hope if you do use those contacts that you can just snap it off.
I noticed that the stress lines on your forehead have evened out.
Shut up.
Yeah. And my kids aren't aware that, like, sometimes next to the cash there's this table so that when you're not using the remote control, you can put the table on the remote control so it doesn't fall in between the cracks of the television and then you lose the remote control.
One more time with that
every
case?
Single day.
I lost
there's,
it.
There's this table that sits next to your couch, and you can put your remote there.
Oh,
and then that way, you never lose the remote.
Try that out at home
today. You should
today.
Try that.
All right, by the way, just to reiterate our announcement earlier, the President and Steve Show is now a YouTube live stream.
Yes.
You can watch everything that happens here in the studio. And you want to like and subscribe to the President and Steve Show. We'll send you daily reminders and all that good stuff. So, you know, hit that bell, as they say in the YouTube videos.
And we'll be doing this again at the campout, right? I mean, so it continues straight through.
Yeah, definitely.
We're off the money now.
We wanted to roll it out here in the studio because we've done it at the campout before. Right. But now you get to peek inside the President and Steve Studios, what we have going on. And it's sponsored by Newman University. We thank them for all their assistance.
Yay.
Come discover the new you at Newman University. So let's take a break. Come back in a second. We'll get to the bizarre file. We also have your first shot today at $500. MMR's Money Clips coming up. We'll be right back.
Did you know you can listen to all of WMMR's podcasts as well as our live stream on your Alexa-enabled device? It's easy. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we made an announcement just a little while ago that the Preston and Steve Show is now streaming live on YouTube each and every day, every show that we do.
Yes.
You will be able to watch the whole thing as it plays out on our YouTube channel, and you can go to PrestonandSteve.com and link on that, or you can go to YouTube and do a search on Preston and Steve. You'll be able to find it.
And if the show wraps up, the entire show is up as a watchable YouTube video, correct?
That is correct. So it's we've been kind of testing it for a few weeks now and not really rolling anything out about it. But now there it is out there in the open, and it is sponsored by Newman University. Come discover the new you, and you can like and subscribe it, and you will get the YouTube channel reminders. Mm-hmm. So we would love for you to check it out when you get a chance. And just keep in mind, there'll be interruptions when we use copyrighted music and stuff like that. So we're figuring it all out as we go along. But thank you, Nick Murphy and company, for getting this whole thing working. So you can now watch that on YouTube. Peek into the studio. Let's do the B-File.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it's brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. You can download the DraftKings app and use the code ROCK to get in on the action. Let's begin with this. It was a frightening moment for a customer after he said a waitress at a Waffle House in Atlanta pointed a gun at his head after a dispute over food. Candy Franklin said she was like, she will blow my brains out. Candy had said it all happened over cheese eggs.
So what could have been so horrible that she had to draw down on the guy?
She said actually it was a girl. First, they didn't bring them to me. Then they brought me normal eggs, and I said that I ordered eggs with cheese on it. I tipped her and everything. It was all a normal dispute over food. I never in a million years thought that it would come to gun violence. She said, I was looking down at my food, making sure that it was right, and that's when I just saw people running. I look up, and she had a gun at me.
You gonna eat them eggs or what?
I didn't think she would shoot, and then she cocked it back. So I was like, maybe she is about to do something. And then I quote, she says, now it's the time for me to turn into Rambo and get out of there. So that's what she did.
What the hell?
Atlanta police confirmed that they are investigating the incident.
Oh, it's the new dish, Moons Over Rambo.
Franklin said, I was fearing for my life because I had been shot before.
Jesus.
And I just lost a brother to gun violence. All of that was going through my mind. Now, listen to what Waffle House says.
Yeah, please.
A representative from Waffle House said that they have received a customer complaint and they've launched an investigation.
Yeah. So we're going to look into that.
They'll look into the customer
complaint. For the most
complaint.
Part, it's something we frown upon at Waffle House.
Pulling a gun on them. Oh, my God.
You're going to eat some of those squares don't have butter in them.
Wow. All right. Showing no fear of humans and with a distinctive item around its neck, an antlered deer attacked a woman on her property. While the woman survived the bizarre attack despite numerous puncture wounds,
man,
the Michigan Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that wildlife should indeed stay wild.
Rattlers!
Officers responded to a residence.
It's one of the rangers.
For report of an antlered white-tailed deer having attacked a woman. The woman in question, 64-year-old Patty Jean Willis, had been getting ready for church when she said she let her dogs outside and heard them making a ruckus.
Oh, yeah.
Looking into her backyard, she saw a deer standing there. Adding to the oddity was that the deer wore an orange collar around its neck.
Okay.
Willis's son and husband went outside, and the deer wandered off, she said. About 10 to 15 minutes later, she went outside to tend her chicken coop before heading to church. I got about halfway to the coop when I seen that deer coming at me with his antlers down.
She seen it real good.
Yep. Willis said it was charging me. Luckily, I saw it because it would have gotten me in my side. She said she turned just in time for the deer to hit her head on.
Like a matador.
Said it hit me hard and knocked me back at least 10 feet on my back. I grabbed its antlers somehow in the process, and they were the first thing I could grab. I was in shock. Pinned to the ground and grappling with the ungulate. Willis began screaming as her arms grew weaker and the antlers points pierced her skin.
Oh, man.
She said, I screamed and screamed as loud as I could, and I never screamed that loud in my life.
Rattlers.
She thought I wasn't going to make it.
Rattlers!
Willis's 45-year-old son, Luke, heard the screams and came running. He scared the deer off and off his mother and held her to the house, though at one point the deer made another charge toward them.
What had the deer so pissed off?
They don't know. He ended up, her husband, JR, fetched a pistol.
Hey, dear, I'm coming for you.
JR, go fetch a pistol.
Yeah.
And then fired a shot in the deer's direction. Right, and
listen up, deer.
They believe the shot missed.
I'm coming for you.
Patty Willis said ended up being hospitalized for 3 days and received 21 stitches to her hip, right leg, and left hand.
So I wonder how common some... is this a thing with deer attacking humans?
So here's the deal. The DNR officers began an investigation of the attack, and in doing so, they visited another nearby residence that they had been to for a complaint in June 2020. At that time, they said, we responded to a residence where a family had either been trying to rehabilitate a fawn or had just taken in a fawn almost as if it was their pet.
So that's why it had sort of a leash or like
They haven't connected it to that case, but they think that that's a likely assumption.
Is it possible they were trying to create a kill fawn?
Ooh, maybe.
Kill fawn.
So what's unknown, is if the deer was with that part of the incident, is the same one who attacked last month. So, yeah.
You know those antlers, they're pointy, they're sharp.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, they'll cause some damage.
Absolutely.
Rattlers, exactly.
All right, here is a follow-up story. A Canadian high school principal who recently made global headlines after exposing herself as an Iron Maiden fan will keep her job.
Yay.
Despite concerned parents calling for her removal. Sharon Burns, principal of Eden High School in St. Catharines, Ontario, was recently criticized after sharing two images on social media, one of which showed her posing in front of an Iron Maiden banner and license plate while throwing up horns in a gesture, and the other featuring a figure of the band's mascot, Eddie, sitting alongside a handwritten note saying Eddie 666 inside a love heart.
Did you hear her announcement to the school over the loudspeakers?
No.
Woe to you.
Wow.
A group of parents started a change.org petition to transfer Bones to another
school.
Maybe
we should have fired her.
Yeah. Writing that they were deeply disturbed.
That'd be like firing them for listening to Rat.
The petition,
right,
which has since been closed, garnered 553 signees, and a counter petition titled "We Need Mrs. Burns" is still active, and it has amassed over 23,000 signatures,
all because of Iron Maiden.
At the time of writing, so the school board has spoken with both Burns and the disgruntled parents, and the issue is over as far as the board is concerned.
Can they reach a happy medium and maybe just take away 1-6?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. 1-6, just have 66. Burns has removed both posts. However, no further action was needed.
Huh.
All right, and then we'll do one more story. This is pretty interesting. An investigation into the defrauding of $35 million from a bank in the United Arab Emirates in January of last year has found that deep fake voice technology was
here
used.
Here we go. Here we go.
To imitate a company director known to a bank branch manager who then authorized the transactions. Isn't that wild? The branch manager of an unnamed victim bank in the UAE had... received a phone call from a familiar voice, which together with accompanying emails from a lawyer named Martin Zellner, convinced the manager to disburse the funds, which were apparently intended for acquisition of a company. It's yes. $35
million. My name is Martin Hollner. What was it again?
So the company's branch manager received a phone call that claimed to be from a company
headquarters. $35 million, please.
Company headquarters. The caller sounded like the director of the company. So
I'm
the
director of the company.
The branch manager believed the call was legitimate.
Signed Epstein's mother.
The branch manager also received several emails that looked like they went along with it. And so he ended up sending the money out. And,
okay, send it out today.
Yeah, the Emirati investigators then established the deepfake voice cloning technology had been used to imitate the company director's voice.
That's very troubling.
Wow.
Because not only that, you're dealing, you know, all the things they can replicate now. The onus is on the companies to come up with better ways to screen this stuff.
By the way, this is the second known incidents of voice-based deepfake financial fraud. The first took place 9 months earlier when an executive at a UK energy company was tricked on the phone by what sounded like an employee's boss demanding a transfer of about $250,000.
Yes, hi, I'm an employee's boss.
Wow. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file. All right, you got like 30 seconds left, my friend, to get over the word wonder for the MMR money clip. So you got to do that now.
Do it.
Running out of time because it ends on Friday.
Yeah.
So make sure you text it or send it to the app or at WMMR.com. But you got to do that now. The word is wonder. Good luck. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment, so make sure you stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love You, Help You Line.
Hey, guys. It's George Lucas here at GCL Metal Polishing in Jackson, New Jersey. I restore antique car parts, grills, trim, bezels, whatever you need in that area. I am a one-man run shop. Been doing it for 35 years. I can be found on Facebook or on my website, gtlmetalpolishing.com. Thanks.
Next message.
Yeah, I'm calling a surprise to my wife, Stacy, who's a wedding photographer. Things aren't returning normal, and you need one of the area's best wedding photographers. I'd appreciate it if you check her out at Lexus Gold Photography or at Lexus Gold Photo, LexusGold Photo on Instagram.
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first. Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
We have some breaking news.
Breaking news.
Colin Powell passed away.
Yeah. Aww.
That's sad. First black U.S. Secretary of State and, of course, military leader, and he died from complications from COVID-19.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had been sick.
No.
I was not aware. He was 84 years old, by the way. So we just saw that this morning. Husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather. Great American, it says.
Yes.
Reading this press release.
He was probably a great-grandfather, though.
Possibly, yeah. You know, like, I don't really know.
If you were one of his grandkids, you would say he was great.
Sure. Yeah, he was great.
He was a great grandfather.
But he did two tours in Vietnam, and you know, so he was a combat veteran, and then obviously worked his way up in the ranks, and then got involved with politics, and yeah. So wow, I did not know. Had no idea he was sick.
No, again, it's in this time where you immediately assume, okay, anything that's happening, I'm going to hear about it because there's just 45 million different ways to hear about the news. To not know that he had been sick or struggling with this is kind of a shock.
Yeah. So, breaking news.
Yes.
I'll pass that along.
Very sad.
Yeah. Sad to hear that. Here's a good story on the other side and has some local ties. But you guys see this over the weekend? Dawn Staley, the basketball player and coach. She has on Friday, the South Carolina Board of Trustees approved a new 7-year $22.4 million contract for her, making the highest paid black coach in women's basketball.
Wow.
She, I loved watching her play, man. She
was very cool.
A badass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the deal, which will pay her $2.9 million this season, puts her on par with UConn's Gino Auriemma, the highest paid coach in women's basketball. It's an $800,000 raise for Staley, who is set to make $2.1 million this season before her new contract was approved on Friday. She said in a statement, credit where credit's due. She said, the university and this state have a rich history of racism, and I'm not going to disregard that, but this is one of the most progressive decisions they've ever made, and they need to be recognized for being committed to leading the way in gender equity in America. This is an equitable statement, and in the midst of our inequalities in our country, I hope it is a turning point. So she's getting a big boost.
Yeah, right? That's a hell of a turning point. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she really helped, you know, turn that program around. In women's basketball, they have, you know, powerhouse teams. And, right. You know, for the longest time, Pat Summitt was running the show in Tennessee. UConn has always had right. a really, really strong program. But, you know, the Gamecocks down there are you know.
And she was instrumental, Casey, yeah. in developing a new contact lens packaging.
No way.
Revolutionized the industry.
No, she didn't. But no. She did lead the Gamecocks to their third Final Four. And she has apparently helped turn that program around. She's been there with over 13 seasons, I believe, yeah, in South Carolina. So that's cool. She led the Gamecocks to a 2017 national championship and just the second black female coach to do so in NCAA basketball.
I mean, I love to see new programs turn around. Like, it's, you know, like in football, like Alabama. They're always going to have a great program. But if somebody else can come in and poach some of these right. really, really great players, and it's the same thing in basketball, Duke, Kentucky, you know, North Carolina, like they always have these amazing programs. So when, you know, she can come in and, you know, poach people away from UConn and Tennessee and, you know, some of these other places, it's great.
Remember that big, that gigantic mural of her, mm-hmm. her that used to be in the city? It was like a whole side of a building, oh. like a seven-story building.
Which I don't know if I ever saw it.
Really, really cool, yeah. So she
must have thought it was a giant attacking the city.
Maybe you did, yeah. with a basketball, yeah.
Look at that large woman attacking that building.
But good for her. That's yeah. that's cool. And the local tie, and I thought that was pretty awesome on her. I realize we're kind of just throwing out some odds and ends.
Are we? Oh, my God.
Yeah, we played back a segment where Kathy was a noticer, so I don't want to be noticing things on her turf.
Kathy takes a stroll over to the General Saw. That's yep. proprietor Preston Elliott standing there.
You'll love this. Let's move into the firearms section here. Yeah,
with an extensive gun collection inside the odds and ends store.
How about this? A robot dog armed yep. with a sniper rifle.
You knew it.
Was unveiled this week in Washington, D.C.
You knew it.
At the annual meeting of the Association of the United States Army.
So those chilling robotic dogs. Yeah. Now, not only can they just run you down and stomp you to death, they can blow your brains out.
So the robot developed by Ghost Robotics carries a Sword Defense Systems Special Purpose Unmanned Rifle.
Here we go.
Spur, as they call it. And the Sword is the group that put that together.
Son of a bitch.
Well, I just saw a video of, and this has probably existed for a while, but somebody had a gun on a drone.
Oh, yeah, it's been around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've been using them.
On the Sword International website, the company explains that the Spur was specifically designed to offer precision fire.
Yeah.
From unmanned platforms such as the Ghost Robotics Vision 60 Quadruped.
Yeah.
Spur said that it is the future of unmanned weapon systems.
Here, boy.
In May, the U.S. Air Force said that it was testing an unarmed version of the dogs at Florida's Tyndall Air Force Base. The Pennsylvania-based Ghost Robotics, by the way, has been building the four-legged QUGV, or quadrupedal unmanned ground vehicle robot, since 2015.
It just sounds friendly.
Is that in and around our area? I think they are, right?
Oh, man. Okay, so please.
Ghost Robotics.
If the company is listening, can you give us some for defense? And just in case we are attacked, we have our defensive robotic dogs, because I think we're getting to the point now. But we talked about this for the longest time, Preston, how terrified we are of
mm-hmm.
what this is leading to. And from the Metalhead episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah.
This is it. This is what you're looking at.
So while some may worry about a robot drone with a lethal sniper rifle.
Yeah, me.
That Popular Science Reports has been adopted by Homeland Security. And Special Operations Snipers Ghost Robotics CEO Jiren Perig said that the weapon is fully controlled by a remote operator. Said there is a human controlling the weapon. There is no autonomy or AI.
Yeah.
He assured. Right. That is only a matter of time.
It always happens. The machine becomes self-aware, and then it dominates the world, and then it's our overlords.
Well, they might be listening, because Ghost Robotics headquarters are in Grays Ferry.
I thought they were around here. All right. Yep. It was not immediately clear whether the quadrupedal robots and rifles are being sold.
Yeah.
But Parik had noted that the robot had been chosen for its ability to maneuver over tricky terrain, and its operators remain out of harm's way.
And by the way, why should we be comforted by the fact that there's somebody, a human, controlling it? What if that guy's loony?
Yeah, right. Yeah, he could be loony, too. While reaction to the armed dogs has been mixed, Pentagon policy states that all robotic weapons should be under the control of a human operator. That may provide a little comfort to those shocked by the robots, because they're scary looking, man. I mean, they just look
insect like,
very much
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
What if you put like a cute face on it?
Something.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, like the Teletubbies.
Or I was thinking like Doug from Up. You know, like just dumb dog face. Right. Like
I'm just blew your head off.
Yeah. Like an actual.
I just
dog
gained
face?
Access to your home and murdered your family.
Maybe. Wow. So they put a sniper rifle on this thing.
Well, you know, this and that's the least of it. You know, there's much more destructive capabilities. Now, listen, sending one of those into a situation where you're looking for someone, say, like at a burning building or something like that, that's mm-hmm. cool.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, I wonder if the robots are going to hire like a PR department to brush up their image a little bit.
Maybe.
Instead of kill droids.
Yeah, I would hope so. All right, I saw this. This is way up on a top shelf here. You guys ever heard of leaf peeping?
Peeping?
Is that like going for fall foliage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Leaf peeping.
No, I'm into that.
I didn't know it was a name.
I'd love to watch the leaves change.
You're a leaf peeper, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a thing. I mean, I know that people do it, but I didn't know it had a name.
And I like docking.
Called leaf peeping. You're into docking. Okay.
My brother likes to do that. He likes to go up to like Vermont, New England area. Recently, he went up to upstate New York.
It's nature's, colorful display. Right?
Yeah.
Do you do it?
No.
Oh. So he will plan a trip specifically with foliage in mind.
Yep. Well, soon as the leaves start changing colors and, you know, he goes to a place where they are plentiful.
So an ongoing online poll of undisclosed number of U.S. adults revealed how they answered the question, which was, have you ever traveled to see leaves that have changed colors in the fall, also known as leaf peeping?
I'm not sure about that name, though.
And 55% said no.
It sounds like you're watching the leaves take a shower through a window.
But 39% said yes.
I mean, you could do, like, the alliteration, just, you know, leaf looking.
Yeah,
okay. You know?
I like better. That. Peeping sounds like you're breaking the law.
So
I did go up to upstate New York one time to specifically with my wife for, leaf peeping, and it was it's fun when you see it. The trouble is, you can take the trip, and by the time you get there, it's past.
I did it in New Hampshire one year, Steve, and it was like torrential rain. I don't know if there was some lingering hurricane that had worked its way up in this time of year or whatever. But I went with my dad. We went hiking in the White Mountains near Mount Washington. And part of the reason why we went this time of year was to go leaf peeping.
The foliage is going to be glorious.
Oh, dear God. All of the leaves had already fallen off the trees because the wind and the rain. It was just terrible.
I get the image of you and your dad sitting in a tent as it's raining outside.
And then on the flight back, that was landing gear didn't load properly out of the plane, so they had to send the fire department out onto the runway at the Philadelphia International Airport. This is a real quality trip.
Yeah, forget leaf peeping. It's deadly.
So I assume that if you just head maybe to the Poconos, if you get just a little bit further up in elevation, it might go a smidge quicker.
The Poconos, you really run the risk of, because they can all disappear up there really fast. It's weird. Like, but when you go to upstate New York, when you go to these leaf-peeping states, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Vermont, Maine, that type of place.
Upstate New York?
Yeah. They're more plentiful forests and more leaves to gaze upon.
I think our peeping window in this area is rather limited, correct?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, there's some nice places.
There are.
Where do you
peep? There's just more to choose from up there.
So wait, I was going to say, and I think we talked about this last year, but I feel like it's a little bit late. Like they're changing later than they normally do, right?
It's usually
because of COVID.
That last week of October is when I've found historically that we get the colors are really happening.
Oh, okay.
And the leaves haven't hit the ground yet. So we're close.
That's the traditional time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then once you get a little bit into November, it's over.
Yeah, they fall quickly.
You can use apps.
It's over!
You can use apps for leaf peeping, though. Like, you can go up, I mean, like, in these places, like upstate New York or whatever.
Nothing is over! Coming out here looking for leaves, looking for the different colors that taps to your life, can't even find a freaking leaf! Multiple colors of mosaic presented by Mother Nature herself. I come out here completely disappointed. I'm sitting in a tent with Nick's dad.
With Nick's dad?
How the hell did this happen? Coming out of here, going back to Vietnam, coming back looking for leaves. Not a lead to be found. I'm sitting in a tent with Nick's dad. He's telling me how he steals Christmas trees.
Oh, it's raining out. You got to pass the time. Good story. Did he tell you about the Manson family yet, Rambo?
He told me I live with the Manson family. And he said he saw Kathy's dad begging Janis Joplin. What kind of country did I return home to?
People spitting on you.
People spitting on me. Kathy's dad begging Janis Joplin. Nick's dad joining the Manson family.
Oh, my God.
Lots to talk about.
Nothing is over. And no leaves. Not one leaf. They're all brown.
Oh, man. Wow.
They are stupid when they're brown.
Oh, my God.
Just like birds.
Stupid, huh? Stupid.
It's like the gray bird. I think it's brown.
I think it's brown. I think it is brown.
Wait, and you know what's so funny? Nick, we probably threw it away because we cleaned up over here, but...
It was a dead bird?
No, we had... no, listen, I talked to... This is a thing. I talked to a color specialist, and she tells you what colors you should be wearing as far as your fashion goes, and she actually gives you a little card, and she pairs you from your skin, your hair color, all of that, the colors that look best on you. And the one color she told me I should never wear is brown.
Mm. So my wife was told by her mom years ago that earth tones and stuff don't work for her. And I think she looks fantastic in them.
Yeah, I think that's a bunch of hooey.
I think that's a bunch of hooey.
I don't know. She should like...
It's a bunch of crap! Come back, tell me what color I look good in. Tell me I don't look good in brown. I look perfect in brown.
No, I don't think it's hooey at all.
I don't look good in mauve.
Your skin tone and your hair color, that plays a part in it. You can put a color on that washes you out or makes you not look
good. Absolutely. You need something for the bedroom and the boardroom.
I think it's brown. Kathy hates everything brown. Is there anything you like that's brown? We'll have to think about that.
Your hair's brown. Your eyes are brown.
Hi, I'm Kathy Romano with this edition of Everything I Hate is Brown.
Your nipples?
Oh, we almost got it. Yeah, you're right. Your nipples are brown. There's a lot of brown. All right.
Silence.
That's it.
Just making it awkward for you, too, because that's sexual harassment.
Hang on a second. Let me go to Tom here. Hey, Tom.
Period.
Tom, good morning.
How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, Tom?
Not much. So I heard you guys talking about places to go to watch the leaves change.
Leaf peeping.
Yeah, this time of year, I like going up towards, like, Lake Wallenpaupack up in Pike County.
Yeah.
If you take 611 all the way up to the Poconos, once you get up to, like, Bushkill Falls, just run that straight. I think it's 209 or 402. Take it all the way up. Just keep driving.
807. Yeah, 66.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, Tom, okay. And I think there's a lot of, and Nick, maybe you can back this up. There are sites and they're actually live video feeds in some of these areas. So if you want to hedge your bets, you know, people are reporting from these areas what the status of the leaves.
There are literally apps for doing this type of thing, for leaf peeping.
What you need is, I think personally, to really make it worth your while, is you need a little bit of elevation so that you can see a decent length.
The panorama.
Then you get the feel for the colors, which is cool. So.
By the way, Route 6, North Pennsylvania, is great. He was mentioning routes to take.
Yeah.
It goes across the entire state. It's north. It's almost to the New York border. But if you want to go for some really nice sightseeing in our beautiful state, mm-hmm. Route 6.
Nick, what was that one place that I went to where they closed down the falls or whatever?
Bushkill Falls?
No, it wasn't. I don't think that's what it was.
The trail was deemed dangerous.
Yeah,
they closed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was near Jim Thorpe, right?
Near Jim Thorpe. I forget the name of it, but that was really pretty.
Dead Man's Gulch.
That's right. You went out there, Kath, and they said, whatever you do, don't go in this particular...
Hey, fancy bitches, you think about going up on that trail? I wouldn't do it if I were you.
Well, no, they were getting ready, like they were announcing that they were closing it. So we went out there and hiked
permanently,
it before we...
or they...
Well, at least one part of it up to where people were climbing to the top and falling off this waterfall.
Right.
Basically, they were getting hurt.
But the area is beautiful, right?
It was really, really nice out there. Yeah, Glen Onoco?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Onoco? Oh,
yeah.
The Onoco Flow?
Onoco. Yeah.
Onoco, yeah. Something I don't know. Like that.
Interesting. Okay, well, there you go. It's called leaf peeping. Coming back from, you're a leaf peeper. Coming back from Vietnam, people calling you a leaf peeper.
Say people leaves, I don't people leaves. You people leaves, leaf peeper.
But
I drink Dr. Pepper and a brown.
Apparently, people do that, so you're a leaf peeper. All right. Here's a little bit of helpful advice, I think, and I'm hesitant.
Is this the help self-help section of the store?
It is. Right. It is. The general store. I'm always hesitant when I see something that's a really good idea to pass it along to the masses.
Well,
should they decide to steal said great idea?
Well, is it an idea that you came up with or someone else already has?
No, somebody came up with it. But I think this is interesting, and tell me what you guys think about this. So there is a simple hack that may be able to get you an entire row on a plane to yourself.
Oh.
When you're traveling as a pair.
Okay.
Okay, so instead of having all three seats.
Travel with a hyena.
Filled up. You could do that.
Yeah.
No, but what you do.
It's my therapy hyena.
According to Chelsea Dickinson, who runs cheapholidayexpert.com. She explained in a post that you should book a window and an aisle seat in row 13 when you're traveling with someone else.
Why 13?
Well, it's unlucky.
Well, it's not a popular row. Some people have an issue with number 13 and therefore might be more likely to be open, and they don't like middle seats.
So if you're traveling with someone, you're saying you get the aisle and the window in row 13 because the likelihood of someone wanting to squeeze in between two people is nominal, and then to do it on row 13 is even less so.
It just kind of,
puts
things a little bit more in your
More family. Than the hyena thing.
Yeah, more so.
And if somebody does book between you, then you have the option to say, hey, do you want to switch?
Yes.
We'll take the middle seat.
Yeah, and they'll probably gladly give up the middle seat, too. So,
did you see the things they're selling now, Preston, to that point, that are actual seat, like, it turns your row into, like, a little mini bed?
No.
Okay,
what?
So you put...
Wouldn't you have to buy the whole row?
Right. Well, yes.
Or end up with the whole row.
Right, if the whole row is available, but it turns it into like a little mini bed.
I would have to see how that works.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Interesting. Is it like a trifold type of thing that you lay out?
I don't know how the mechanism works, but I saw a couple laying down on this contraption. I guess we're looking... Yeah, is this it?
I don't know.
It kind of looks like this, yeah.
I would pay for that.
So we're looking at a picture of it. This actually looks much nicer than what I saw. It looked a little more cheap. But this, so these people are stretched out completely across three seats.
It's the only thing about flying that I don't like. I don't mind. I don't mind waiting in line. I don't mind, the food or anything like that. It's just the ability to lay down. Or to completely stretch out a little bit and to nod off. I just can't do it.
Can't do it.
In that position.
So the only thing about the flight that you don't like is the flight itself while you're actually on the plane.
I guess so, yeah.
I remember, like, I've gotten rows to myself sometimes. And even if you have the entire row to yourself, yes, it's better and you have a little bit more room or whatever. But lying down on those seats, not comfortable. They're just not... It's not a comfy thing.
If you're of a semi-decent size, it's going to be really... Especially now with the way that they're dramatically reducing the space between rows.
And by the way, let me go back to the fact that someone would not sit in a row 13 on a plane.
Yeah.
How absent of any logic that is at all. There's a 13th row on the plane.
Right.
Someone's going to sit in it. Why wouldn't the whole plane go down just because they're sitting you know what I mean?
FAA history indicates that many times it's the 13th row that gets ripped out of a plane.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not. I'm so sorry.
I wonder how many people would consider that a reason, though, you know?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Would you not stay? Now, some buildings do have 13th floor. They'll have a 13th floor.
Yeah.
Do we have?
Well, we only have six floors here.
So wouldn't they put on a 13th?
So there's not a 13th floor.
Why wouldn't they put a 13th floor on?
We don't have floors 7 through 12.
We'd put a 13.
They put a 13, yeah.
Just to buck the system.
I wonder if they still do that in modern in modern architecture, like now, and some of the brand new buildings that they've built.
If they forego a 13th.
If they don't have a 13th floor or not.
That's a good question, because I think, in other words, how impactful is it even at this point for people to say, I'm not so sure about that?
Like the Comcast building. Does that have a 13th?
That's the one I just looked up, yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently it's condos, high-rise condos.
Okay.
Oh, on the 13th floor?
Yeah.
Marissa, do you guys have a 13th floor in your building? Do you know? She's the only one who lives in a high-rise here. Hang on a second.
Now, I don't know.
Okay.
I'll have to check when I get home.
Yeah, when you're in the elevator, take a look.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of when the numbers... It might, because, like, the numbers don't go, like, 6, 12... evenly. They don't jump evenly, so there's a chance it could be gone.
Welcome to the 13th floor, Marissa.
Like when you jump on the elevator with somebody and they offer to tap your floor and then you can't find the other person's floor.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Well, I have another story that ties into traveling.
All right.
But it has to do with sex as well.
Like the Mile High Club?
Not quite that, but the question is, what is it about being in transit to a vacation destination that puts people in the mood for sex?
Huh.
Dr. Justin Lenmiller, a research fellow at the Kinsey Institute, said that reports of sexual fantasies taking place outside of regular home environments, such as in cars or airplanes or on a beach, I guess in Mile High Club. Yeah,
runs through your mind. I mean, I'm traveling. I'm not traveling with anybody when we go to Chicago, and I'm relaxing the hand that I used to pleasure myself just in anticipation.
Okay, very good. Yeah, rest up. But they said that it is extraordinarily common for people in a survey of more than 4,000 Americans. I added that this suggests that there is something to the idea that being outside of your usual environment often enhances arousal.
I sort of see that, at least the potential for that, right?
I know that. Listen, hotel sex.
Yeah.
You know, when you're
with their staff.
When you're when you're with your significant other.
How's it going?
And you're staying somewhere in a hotel. Why is it, we should definitely do this?
Yes. You know? Oh, yeah. You've got to. You
don't know what it is.
Christening the room, right?
Well, I mean, there's. Well, most likely no kids there.
Yeah.
Right. The door's locked.
Not necessary.
Oh, dear God. that's part of it too. If you do have kids,
but you got a separate room for them, don't you?
But even in the non kid days, mm-hmm. I mean, it would be like, okay, yeah, we're definitely doing this.
All right, when you travel with the kids, you guys, did you put them in a separate room, right?
No, well,
depending on the age,
a separate hotel.
At what point
we have never traveled with our children where they were at an age where it's appropriate to leave them in another room.
No, I understand. All right.
But, listen, you get to the hotel with your spouse, your significant other. Kathy, you check for bed bugs first, right?
Right, exactly.
And then let's get it on.
So you guys haven't had a family trip yet where they have their own room yet?
Nope.
So it's been a while then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys are due.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, where we stayed in a hotel.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Why don't you do that motel up on City Line?
Yeah, that's right, because you guys have done where you've gone and rented a house, mm-hmm. and that's a different story.
Yeah.
You bang away at that.
Is that place called the Continental or whatever it is over there?
Where?
On City Line? Here.
Oh, my God.
By the Taco Bell?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. That is one of the scariest looking motels I've ever seen.
Isn't there?
No, it's right next to a gas station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right next to the gas
station. Elmo's
right there.
It's right next to a Lukoil.
Wait, there's an El Limon and a Taco Bell in the same block?
No. So Taco Bell moved. It's on the corner now.
Oh.
I'd rather go to El Limon.
Mm.
It's good.
I'll just leave that there.
So anyhow, in this survey, this suggests that there is something to this idea of being outside of your usual environment and enhances arousal. He said that this could be because we're broken out of our regular routines.
Yes.
And then the novelty can create a heightened state of general arousal.
Like a boner.
And for many, travel alone is a kind of fantasy realized, and it often has the potential to turn sexualized.
When I travel alone, I do role-playing with myself.
Also, in addition, the vibration one experiences on certain modes of transportation may be enough to get you physically aroused. So you'll role-play with yourself a little bit?
Yeah.
Tell little stories?
Yeah, I do like Casablanca.
Pretend like you're a...
A spy.
A spy or something.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let me see. One more story. Let's go with this one. How about this? Wrinkles the Clown.
Wrinkles the Clown sounds like an old clown.
Is a urban legend in the United States.
Oh, is this is like a horror thing?
Kind of. Not almost, though. So okay. A YouTube channel posted security camera footage of a child sleeping in their room before a clown silently comes out from under the bed and destroys the footage. The clip, which is staged most likely, has been viewed more than a million times, and Wrinkles' popularity has only grown as more and more sightings of him have been posted on social media. The clown can typically be seen wearing red and white polka dot suit with black gloves and a white mask with black eye holes and receding white hair.
Yeah, that's a clown, all right.
The legend claims that some parents will pay Wrinkles a few $100s
wow.
to make appearances and scare their kids straight or even just freak out their neighbors.
To scare the kids straight?
Meaning that if
they've been doing drugs!
If they've been bad, yeah.
Okay.
So the story goes that Wrinkles is a divorcee and a veteran from Rhode Island who moved to Florida after retiring.
This is the myth of Wrinkles.
Yes. Instead of taking up golf, he decided to buy a creepy clown mask and buy some business cards.
They made a documentary about this.
Really?
What? Yeah.
Okay, Wrinkles the Clown. And so would he be akin to like the Slender Man?
Only he doesn't kill you.
Okay. He sets you on the right path.
So he got a clown mask and some business cards. And
right.
sometime after that, he got hundreds of prank calls from teens and pranksters and even some calls from parents wanting his services.
Do most clowns have business cards?
Wrinkles has done an interview with the Washington Post telling the paper about a time a mother hired him to scare her child. And he added, I just want to have fun and have a good time, make a little extra money on the side, you know, have a little fun before I die. So I'm not sure if this is real or not.
Well, this documentary appears to be real that they're showing here, that this is a guy who did it, or at least other people. I'm going to have to explore this person. This seems interesting, and I do like this sort of stuff that arises, like the Slender Man, like these little legends. Okay, we're looking at footage of, I guess might be the original footage of Wrinkles coming out from underneath the bed.
Yeah, he's in a trundle bed.
Yeah,
that's terrifying.
He gets out from underneath, and so... Yeah, I'm not sure what the story is. I've only read this article about it, and apparently he might be real. He might not be, as far as somebody being actually hired to scare their kids.
Wasn't it a couple of years ago that there was, I think when the first It came out, there was a spate of clown.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And also red ribbons were being tied around places and stuff. Yeah,
in Bucks County there was a fair amount happening. Yeah,
scared the crap out of me.
Listen, I did that. So we have a sewer grate.
To your family?
Right by the front of my driveway. And I had a red helium balloon and I tied it to it.
That's terrific.
And it scared the hell out of my daughter.
Good work.
For people who know what it is, it's awesome. For, you know.
Yeah.
Other people. Something like that.
What's that?
Scare the hell out of your children.
Yeah. Oh, I fun. Terrible people.
Are you going to do ghillie suit this year, Case?
Maybe.
I love it
maybe.
When you do.
Yeah.
You've got good footage.
Because we went down
the
shore last year for Halloween.
Okay.
So I think we'll be back in Delco.
You know what?
It's a lot of fun.
Up your game. Do a Mickey Ghillie suit.
Yeah, Mickey Ghillie.
Yeah.
The old country star.
Right.
Wow. All right. Well, anyhow, these are just a few things I figured I'd dust off and move along out of the store.
Get out of here, kid.
But that's all we have time for now. A reminder, in the 7 o'clock hour, we made an announcement that we now are streaming the entire Preston and Steve show live on YouTube. And you can watch it if you check out our YouTube channel, Preston and Steve. It's real simple. And if you've always wanted to kind of get a peek of what's going on in the studio, I know you've seen our Daily Rush videos.
Right.
But this is the entire show live as it plays out.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to check that out, you can certainly do it. It is sponsored by Newman University. Make sure you subscribe and hit the like button and all that good stuff, because we'll bring you everything we can. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. Don't forget, more chances with the MMR Money Clip coming up.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, benefiting Phil Abundance.
At Xfinity Live in the Wells Fargo Center Complex.
This year, we're starting earlier than ever. It all kicks off Monday, November 1st.
The gang will be camping out for an entire week.
Inside the Bimbo Bakeries USA broadcast tent.
But audience attendance will be very limited.
We're emphasizing cash donations this year, both at WMMR.com and at your local Acme Market at the checkout register.
Non-perishable food donations
donations can be accepted via our drive-thru drop-off, fueled by Pepsi.
Camp Out is not possible without the generosity of you and our partners.
Comcast Spectacor and the Philadelphia Flyers, Whitehorse RV Center, Keen Compressed Gas, Wishvis Bank, Xfinity from Comcast, and Mayfair Fence.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger from 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Reminder that 2 weeks from today, we start the Preston and Steve Camp Out for Hunger.
Woo!
Yep, it'll be here before you know it. It's earlier this year, but the Head Start program is happening with Acme as we speak. So if you wouldn't mind giving us a little kick in the ass, if you will, and making a donation while you're there, we would appreciate it.
I did it yesterday, as a matter of fact. I do it every time I go to Acme and make the donation. It's so easy, right at the point of checkout.
Actually, I did as well last night. I actually took a video of myself doing it, so it's more of like a tutorial.
Right,
like,
right.
Not like I'm bragging.
Right.
That I donated.
Look what I can do.
I donated a whole dollar, but I just sort of took people through the process.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. So, yeah, help out if you can, and then obviously come and see us when we are doing the Camp Out for Hunger. And like I said, it's 2 weeks from today. It's unbelievable.
Listen, I'm simultaneously excited about the things that are already in the works and planning, you know, for this thing. And obviously, it's much earlier than we've ever done it before. And we're kind of dealing with all these things that are uncertain. So I'm terrified and exhilarated, but I just know it's going to, listen, and the one thing that is not a question is how generous people are.
Yes.
So that's always the comfort.
Yep, absolutely. So we had a weird little moment last week on the show here. It was Friday, and Nick got a text.
Yeah.
And he could tell something was going on, and turns out it wasn't worded exactly the way it should have been, I guess.
Well, all right. So let me preface this by saying that my mom is fine.
Yeah. And that's how the text should have started, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So this was Friday morning, 9 a.m. We're in the middle of the show, and I'm on several text chains with several people, right? But there's a text chain that's me, my dad, and my two brothers. And normally we talk about baseball or the Flyers or whatever. And in fact, the day before had been talking about the baseball playoffs. So Friday morning, 9 a.m., I look down at my phone and I see a text from my dad. And there had been a game the night before. So I think, maybe he's talking about the Dodgers or whatever. And they're playing in the next round. And I look down and I'll just read it to you. It says, at the hospital, in the emergency room for mom. We'll give more information later.
Oh, my God.
That's it.
Wow.
There's no context. There's nothing. So
you can't do that.
You can't do that. So here's the thing. I appreciate the fact that my dad was trying to keep me and my brothers in the loop and keeping us informed. However, all he really did was make me panic and make my two brothers panic without any further information as to what the hell was going on with
right.
my mom.
And I'm sure, did everyone start calling him then at the same time?
I called immediately. I mean, I think maybe we were in a commercial break or playing a song or whatever. And so I ran into the other room, called him. And he said, I can't talk right now. We'll talk more later. So, you know, that's not the text that you lead with.
Right,
you know, like
right.
if something's wrong with mom and she's in the emergency room, I appreciate you letting me know. But like, you have to spell it out a little bit more. And I think that my dad, just when it comes to texting, when it comes to email, he's just not that great at it.
Think of the context. Think of how it will be received. And there are some people who just don't understand.
Yes.
How you impart information like that. The first, what would you prefer the text to read in the sequence?
Hey, boys, everything's okay. There's a little bit of concern. I've taken your mother to the emergency room. She's getting tests. You know, expand right. the information right. a little bit.
Yeah,
there's a bit of an episode right now, but she's getting the care that she needs. But to keep it as simple as he did,
yeah.
with no explanation or further expansion as to what actually was going on.
In the hospital, is not
jarring.
Much to say. Yeah,
right. Both of my parents right. are in their 70s, so anytime you see anything yeah. about with an ER involved and the hospital involved, it'll set you to panicking.
Or any like time there's a phone call, like after a weird time, you're like, right. okay, oh, why yeah, are they dude. Calling me at like 10 o'clock at night?
Exactly. Right.
And she's like, apples are on sale at Aldi. <Yeah. laughs> I just forgot to tell you earlier. Like,
oh, my God.
It's midnight.
Two 30.
So my
I just saw some great bargains at Target in the Flyer. Give me a call. Oh, by the way, the whole family died in a plane crash.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate the information that you're right. giving me, but my wife and I, we've had to sort of establish a baseline because I will, like, call her, and she doesn't answer the phone.
Oh, no.
And then I'll send her a text saying, hey, call me.
She's in a ditch.
No, not even, hey. I'll just say, call me. And then immediately she's like, oh, my gosh. something bad happened, right? And so she calls me in a huff and a panic. Oh, my God, is everything okay? And I'm like, yeah, everything's fine. Just
Did you see the apples at Aldi's?
Aldi's mom called her at 2:30.
Now, I would interpret just the two words, call me, as it's important.
Yes. Yeah. So that's why we have had to establish a baseline. And my baseline for her is like, listen, I will let, if it's an emergency or something bad is going on, I will let you know. If I'm saying call me, it just means call me. That's all. Right.
So I had this conversation with Marissa last week because my mom will do it. She'll do it on the phone, in person, and in text. But she comments on a conversation that she's having in her head and that you don't know anything about. So it's like mid-thought. And I did it to Marissa last week. I was like, so listen, what do you want me to do about that? Okay. And she looked at me and she's like,
this is what your mom will do?
Could you explain that? Yeah. Yes. And I was like, oh my God, I just did what my mom does. Like, she'll send a text and it'll like, you know, like that. Like, she'll be like, they're on sale. Go now. Okay. And I'm like, okay, well, let's start from the beginning. What's on sale and go where?
Give me a subject and then we can build upon that. Yeah. I do that. So that's something that my wife has had to deal with all our existence together because I'll be, you know, my mind goes in a million different ways. I don't think the way a lot of people think because I'm stupid. So anyway, she'll get half a story and she'll, pertaining to what?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
That's what I do with my mom. And like, I get so annoyed. And then I feel bad. I do get annoyed. But, and she's like, because she gets so like, you know, a lot of, sometimes it's, you know, it's information that maybe has her, you know, blood pressure up a little bit. And so she's like, oh my God, you know, this is what's happening. I'm like, all right, well, let's start from the beginning because I'm lost now. You've got to back it
expand
up a little.
Expand on it.
Yeah.
All right, here's a perfect example of what not to text to someone. All right, so this is, I don't know who he is, but he texted and says, I accidentally shot myself in my leg in 2008. My mom texted my sister and said, Joey shot himself.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
She thought I was dead. Yeah. Mom, maybe a little bit more. Joey shot himself in the leg.
By accident.
Yeah, by accident, and not Joey shot himself.
Or you say, hey, everything's okay.
Right.
Joey's fine.
Right, yeah, start with everything's okay.
Everything's okay. Joey's fine, but he accidentally shot himself in his leg.
Wow. It's
Joey's like not here anymore.
Well, it's like when the schools call you. If you get a call from the school nurse, the first words out of their mouth are, your kid's okay.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, but they hit their head on the playground or whatever. Like that, if there's anything like that, like a gun or shooting or somebody's at the hospital, start with that.
Your child is okay, but prices have never been lowered all these.
Yeah. Or you just start with like, okay, you know, your child is no longer with us.
Oh, my God.
He left with his grandparents a little bit earlier.
Right. Here's a text. Says, my son texted my wife and said, call me ASAP. When asked why, he replied, accident. Now my wife thinks he was in an accident, but he actually meant the text was an accident. Oh. He didn't mean to send that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Listen, people just automatically think the worst. My mom came upstairs yesterday. Nobody was home, okay? So my wife was at volleyball with my daughter. I was taking my daughter to her play rehearsal.
They've abandoned me.
My mom thought somebody was in the emergency room. That's what she thought.
See, there you go.
Nobody was home.
There you go.
And she automatically thought somebody was hurt and somebody was in the emergency room.
She came home and nobody was there?
She came upstairs.
Oh.
She had been home.
Right.
She just came upstairs and nobody was there.
She managed to jimmy the lock open. How'd you get upstairs?
Wow. Okay. A lot of people are texting in that they get half of the story from people a lot of times.
And I think
like halfway through.
I think part of it is excitement. And it's like you have to like just think, like take a step back and fill me in.
To that point, though, if you are going to ask someone, call me, be ready to receive that call. Nothing is as frustrating as having oh, my God, knowing that the person on the other end now is going to be trying to get a hold of you and you don't. You know, that you're not picking up or that you get on another call. Make sure that you respond to that call.
Right. I have Taylor on the phone. Hi, Taylor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Taylor?
So, 2011, me and my little brother were starting our freshman senior year of high school.
Uh-huh.
And he was in an accident walking his ex-girlfriend home. And my older brother called me. Instead of leading with, Jake is okay and everything is fine, he proceeds to tell me Jake's been shot and then continues to go on with details and everything else. except with the words, he is okay.
Oh, my God.
God almighty.
So he had been shot?
He had gotten, we lived in, like, Port Richmond, Fishtown.
Okay.
And was walking, and...
He was vaccinated.
him and his friends are two tall, skinny kids.
Right.
And he, bad place, bad time, and luckily he was able to... We watch enough wrestling, and our brothers have fought enough that he was able to move the guy's hand away.
So he got shot.
It was not a good situation.
Wow.
Tell Miz when you get shot. Like,
yeah. It literally just went in his arm.
Oh, my okay. God.
And sat there, and he was fine. He wow. said he felt nothing.
Okay.
But my older brother, to this day, I will never let him live this down, and I hope he's listening to this morning because he does listen to MMR. I was like, I could... run to your house right now and punch you.
Oh, okay. My God. So Tanner, just the he's okay part was left
the out okay of the thing. The okay part was the only thing I cared about.
Because of the wrestling, was he able to get the shooter into a camel clutch or a figure four leg lock?
Don't I wish.
that's a wild story.
Yeah. All right, Taylor, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day, guys.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Let's go over to Doug. Hey, Doug.
Hey, good morning, guys. Gadzooks.
Morning, Gadzooks. Gadzooks to you, sir. What's going on?
So I get a phone call last year from my daughter's school, the local tech school. She's in the firefighting program there. And they open the call with, Mr. A, just want to let you know your daughter got hit in the hand with an axe.
Okay.
Nothing else. Just that's how they opened the call. As a firefighter myself, my heart dropped. And as it turns out, she just got crushed. They were using the back of an axe like a hammer and hit her in her gloved hand and stuff like that. But that's the phone call I get from the school nurse.
Oh, man.
How long before she's okay?
She was fine. It's just bruised finger and stuff like that. But, the gloves are pretty thick. But I heard you guys talking about the phone calls. And that's the phone call I get from the school nurse.
I gotcha. Yeah. All right. Thanks, man.
Okay. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
But I've been on the job for 4 days.
let's see. There's a bunch of texts coming in.
Interesting autocorrect.
It says, I was in the ER. My husband, who is a medic in the field, texted my mom and said, good news, Janelle is dead.
Oh, my God.
It auto-corrected.
Oh, my God.
From Janelle is DCC'd. What does that mean?
Discharged.
Oh, discharged.
Oh, my God. To dead.
Yeah.
Why would it auto-correct to dead?
Well, it was like he was trying to, it was D/C'd. So that's not a word.
No.
So it would auto-correct to something.
Good news, she's dead.
Good news, Janelle is dead.
Wow.
What?
It's wild.
He said my mom called my husband hysterical.
Of course.
After that.
Of course.
Oh, well. My God. Wow. Let's go to Logan. Hey, Logan, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Logan?
So my stepfather sent me a photo and group chat picture of my mother's car, which was in an accident.
Okay.
Doesn't respond back when all four children are trying to call her. Call him. Turns out 2 hours later, he responds back saying she's perfectly fine. But for 2 hours, everyone is losing their mind thinking, oh, my God, is she dead?
Yeah. You've sent out a picture of a car that's been damaged and no one knows how she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't do that.
Yeah. Thanks, Logan.
She's okay. This is her car.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, it's Nick's dad had sent a text that said, at the hospital...
Mom's
in the ER.
Yeah.
I'll call you later with more information.
Yeah, not much information to give now. Thanks, Dad.
Just saw a priest. Yeah, he just walked down the hallway past us.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That can be a little bit jarring
when
it comes across.
Very jarring.
The wrong way. And you only get just a little bit of info. The sketchiest stuff. You have to lead with everybody's okay.
Use a context and tier method. What is the most important thing that it's going to matter to this person? What is the current status of this person?
Yeah.
You know, and then move down to the less important stuff like the apples at Aldi's.
Here's one that says, my mom will call me hysterically crying. I will then have to try to get through her sniffling, hoping that someone hasn't just died or been in a tragic accident. just for her to tell me that The Lion King is on. And do you remember when you were that when you were little?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He says she does it with the goddamn Hallmark movies, too.
Drive people crazy.
Crying.
Have you ever had someone on the phone who was inconsolable and you're trying to, you know, there's nothing you can do. You're trying to help them.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a call in the middle of the night one night because I think it was my mom had a bad dream.
Yeah.
About us and wanted to make sure that everybody was okay. You guys ever had that one before?
I had that this summer, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Preston's mom called you?
No.
Oh. Yeah. I thought you were hot.
No, it was just weird. I had a dream. My mom and my dad were in it, and then my neighbor was also in it, and my neighbor was, my neighbor has, the neighbor that was in it, he has been deceased for, a decade and a half plus.
Scary.
So, but it was weird because I was talking to my neighbor, and then I was like, well, hang on a second. Does anybody else see this person, or am I just talking to a ghost? Because I had recognized after talking to him that he was there. Anyway, long story short, when I woke up, I was like, well, hang on a second. My dad's deceased. My neighbor's deceased. And my mom was also in the dream. And so I was like, oh, crap. You know, and then
you just
so
had
I got,
a vision.
Yeah, well, so, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I got up. I walked into, and I was down the shore. I walked into the living room. Anyway, it's not that great of a story. Turns out my mom's alive, but
that's pretty good.
But yeah, you know, but because everybody else was deceased in my dream, I was like, oh crap! Like, what if that was my mom in my dream?
Right?
And you know, it was her coming
it
from me
you.
After life. Yeah,
it's a weird thing when dreams like that happen, and you it lives with you for a while afterwards.
I actually
cried. Can't fly.
Yeah, no. So because when I walked into the living room. My wife was actually awake because she has a terrible sleeper.
Yeah.
And so I was telling her about it. And then I got like really like
emotional.
Emotional and worked up. And
there you go.
And I wasn't, but then I fell asleep. And then as it turns out my mom's okay.
Right. At least that's a happy story. It was a good story. At least your mom's good. So you get scared when you see stuff like that. Yeah. You don't know.
And to that point, my mom's okay too. You know, so all of this happens on Friday morning. I went to the emergency room afterwards. It turns out it was probably just either a panic attack. It could have been gas. It could have been heartburn. So the concern was that she might have been having a heart
attack.
Took
a turn for the worse.
And, yeah,
I made a wrong left.
But when I got there, you know, I checked in on the emergency room and made sure that she was okay. And we were there. And, and she was checked out. She was discharged by like 12:30 or whatever.
Glad to hear that.
I talked to my mom about my dad's inability to communicate while we're in the emergency room, too. I was like, Mom, next time something like this happens, maybe you be in charge of communicating to me and my brothers.
Yeah.
There were a couple of bars in New Jersey. They were called the Library and the Library 2, and it was just a funny, hey, we're going to go to the library. Wouldn't that be funny to call your bar the emergency room?
The emergency room.
There's an office. There's one in Summit, New Jersey. It's called I'm Going to the Office, and it's the name of a bar.
There's Marissa? A bar opening up in South Philly called The Gym.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to the gym.
I love that.
There's a bar opening up called The Whorehouse.
Oh,
but it doesn't really work
that
well.
I'm at the whorehouse.
No, it's just a
damn it, that's just as bad.
Let's go to Lauren. Hey there, Lauren.
Hey, good morning, It.
Morning, It. What's up?
So my story actually takes place pre-cell phones. It was around 1995. I was about 5 years old. My dad was giving me a bath, and I fell in the bathtub and cracked my chin open, which, as you know, face wounds bleed a lot.
Okay.
So, as my mom likes to put it, she had her one afternoon by herself shopping. She comes back to a trail of blood going from the bathroom into the kitchen where my dad had left a note. Took Lauren to Our Lady of Lourdes and no other information.
And he sees blood all over the house.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, no.
The sacrifice went as planned.
All right. So, I would imagine he rushes to the hospital. Or she did.
Yeah, so she rushes to the hospital, and obviously I'm pretty much fine.
Yeah.
But I had to get some stitches, but it wasn't as bad as it looked.
I could see your mom beating your dad. Don't you ever, ever do that.
You know what? I hope there's another room open in this hospital because you're going to need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd freak the hell out.
Did you need stitches or anything, Lauren?
I did, and I still have a scar, actually.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Thank you.
Like Indiana Jones.
I still have a scar on my forehead from when I was like 5 years old.
What was the injury?
We were in a department store, and I was wearing cowboy boots and running around. I tripped over my feet, and I hit the corner of a display counter. It was a sharp corner.
Oh, boy.
Boom.
Yeah.
Wide open. Yep. Where was that text you just had up, Nick, there? It says, My wife called me hysterically crying. My immediate thought is that she was in a car accident because she's not the best driver. Eventually, I'm able to make out that she was accepted into the grad school she wanted. My heart was pounding the whole time. Yeah, if you get somebody crying on the other end, I have had that, and it's been bad. It's not been a good. Yeah.
Did you get accepted into a school?
It No. Yeah. I should ask that. Yeah. I should leave with that. You got in.
Well, were they, your kids.
Oh, my mother died.
Some of the kids in the family will, you know, and they hate when I would do that. Like my nieces and nephews, and they'd be crying, and I'd always go, "What's so funny?" I'm crying.
Let me go to Matt. Hi there, Matt.
Hi. Is this President Steve?
It is.
Oh, my God. First time, long time.
Congratulations. What's up, my man?
So when I was like 18, 19, I was working for a plumbing company down in South Jersey. And it was the end of the day, and I ended up taking a big truck up to 95. I ended up having a bad car accident on that ride. And then I ended up totaling the truck, and then I had to call my dad. And, of course, my dad was freaking out. And then everything else turned out fine. But then several years later, I was on another construction site where I ended up cutting my wrist with a blade. And again, after everything was taken care of, I called my dad. So now every time I call my dad during work hours, he freaks out. He's like, "What's wrong now?" And I have to tell him, I'm like, "Dad, everything's perfectly fine. I just had some time off. I wanted to talk."
Yeah, no, but if you call outside your regular calling patterns, it's just the natural instinct of people to go, "Oh my God, something's wrong."
Oh yeah,
just the way of it.
So now every time I call him, he freaks out unless it's after 3:30.
Right.
So call him after 3:30. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Yep. The late night phone calls. That's the first thing.
Pops yeah, in my that's mind. The like, worst.
What are you watching?
Somebody died. It's the worst.
I'll get. Oh, sorry.
From mom.
I forgot. You go to bed early.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right. You're on that radio show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Sorry. Well, anyhow, you may want to lead with "everything's okay."
Yeah.
By the way,
first it is okay. Yeah.
So Nick had a bit of a scare on Friday, but thanks for your calls. Listen, I want to take a break. We want to do our best to stay on time because yet another $500 opportunity to win. This is last week on MMR's Money Clips. You got today through Friday, and then that will be it for the time being. So let us not miss your opportunity to win $500 next chance at 10. We'll take a break. Come back in a second. Got some B-File stories we'd love to share with you. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Want to see something funny?
Or maybe really messed up?
Well, watch The Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com. It's a sight to behold.
Or something like that.
From 93.3 WMMR.
All right, before we move on, Kathy Romano, we recognize you. Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to Mike. That's all I got is his name is Mike.
Mike.
And he sent a box of Jake's Bar t-shirts to us. If you went to Westchester University or you've ever traveled through Westchester, you've probably heard about Jake's Bar.
Yeah.
The t-shirts have been a thing. They print them every year. It's the same exact t-shirt since I've been there, and they just change the year on the inside of the beer mug that's printed on the shirt. And they make, so, you know, we would go back every year after graduating and everybody would get t-shirts. So they did a breast cancer awareness t-shirt, and they made them pink this year. So he sent those over. I don't know who Mike is, but thank you so much for the t-shirts.
Was that the one with the cheap beer?
Yep.
You would
yeah. Oh, 50 yes, the 50 cent beers right, when I was there, and then they upped it to a dollar.
Yeah. When's the last time you went back there?
Oh, my gosh. Years ago. I haven't
really?
Been there. Yeah. I mean, we were adults, obviously. I mean, you know, well out of college. We went back. I think it was homecoming, maybe, and we stopped in. But I haven't been back in years. I would love to get there.
How old did you feel when you went in there?
You know what?
Well, kids.
Yes. But that is one of the places, if you went to Westchester University, people go back there. So you'll go in there and there'll be older people in there because there's always somebody visiting, you know, and I wasn't there on like a Friday night, you know,
when it's crazy.
Yeah.
There for lunch or dinner at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. We are just a couple minutes away. Case, I'm going to need the B-File intro and
stat.
We'll get to the money clip in a moment. Here we go.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it's brought to you by the iconic Lorenzo and Sons. It's a Philadelphia staple with locations in Westchester. We were just talking about Westchester. And in Xfinity Live and in Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia. Visit Lorenzo'sWestchester.com for information. This is a terrible story, and I actually have a handful of disturbing stories, but this was sent to me a number of times over the weekend. Search crews pulled from the Ohio River in Indiana an SUV that belonged to an Ohio mother who, along with her two children, went missing nearly two decades ago.
Oh, wow.
Side sonar screen technology led divers to the 1997 Nissan Pathfinder Thursday near Aurora in southeastern Indiana. And the vehicle was registered to Stephanie Van Uyen, who in 2002 disappeared with her four-year-old daughter Christina and three-year-old son John.
Jeez.
Uyen had then, who was then 26, left a note that she was going to drive into the Ohio River.
Oh, my God.
But her vehicle was not located at the time. According to the police, the vehicle was transported to a secure location where Indiana State Police investigators will examine the vehicle to determine if she and her two children were in the vehicle. I don't know. I haven't seen a follow-up as of yet if they found them in the vehicle or not. Searchers found the vehicle more than 50 feet below the river's surface and about 300 feet from the riverbank. The Uyen family was last seen on April 19, 2002, when a police officer stopped them in their green 97 Pathfinder. The stop took place near a boat ramp on the Ohio River. Neither Uyen nor her children have been seen since, and the search was part of an investigation into the family's disappearance had reopened about 6 months ago. So they used this technology, the sonar, and they found three submerged vehicles, and this was one of them.
That side scan stuff is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I don't know much about that, but apparently it works wonders, so wow. All right, how about this story? At around noon on Friday, firefighters were dispatched to a neighborhood in Australia's capital city to hunt for the source of a potential gas leak after reports of a pungent smell wafting around the area. At the time, resident Fung Tran had jokingly remarked on social media that the cause was probably someone eating durian fruit.
Oh, yeah.
Haters say it has an odoriferous smell. Those who liken the durian on the other hand, or who like the durian on the other hand, call it the king of fruits. But an hour later, the Regional Emergency Services Agency confirmed Tran's quip. While searching the area, first responders were advised by the owner of a property above a neighborhood shop that the source of the smell was a durian fruit.
Durian. Yep. It's not the king of fruits. It's the Pauly of fruits.
Tran said in an interview that he made a guess once he saw the report had originated from Dixon, a neighborhood known for its many Asian restaurants and grocery stores.
God.
By the way, in 2018, nearly 500 students and teachers from the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology were evacuated from a campus library after a chemical hazard alert. And the culprit turned out to be a piece of rotting durian left in a cupboard.
A lot of areas, for example, like on subways and stuff in certain areas around the world, they won't allow you to travel with the durian fruit because it's so incredibly pungent. We had one in here. It was unbelievably horrible.
Durians are banned from some hotels and public transportation systems in countries such as Singapore and Japan, partly for fear that the fruit signature smell would linger and cause a public ruckus.
God, that was horrible.
So it's happened a few times where that type of thing has taken place. So, yeah, it happened in Australia. All right, this involves a crocodile. It is not in Australia. This is an absolutely horrible, horrible story. This is in Indonesia.
Ugh.
A massive crocodile attacked and ate an 8-year-old girl while she was bathing in the river with friends. Authorities found the remains of the young girl earlier Friday. The attack occurred when the girl, Suchi Ramadani, was bathing in the river with her friends on Wednesday. And a search and rescue official said that the young girl's friends watched the attack happen and were in complete shock at the incident. Locals quickly made it to the scene and were able to stab the large crocodile with a spear while the young girl's head was visible inside the animal's mouth. I mean, it's just as bad as it can get.
It's a nightmare.
But when they cut into the stomach of the crocodile, the remains of the girl were not inside. The river is known to be infested with saltwater crocodiles. At least two crocodile attacks have occurred in the past 10 years.
And saltwater crocodiles are much bigger.
Unlike their close relative, the alligator, crocodiles are ill-tempered and are more likely to attack humans unprovoked. They are also, on average, 3 feet larger than alligators and have teeth designed to tear. In the United States, you're more likely to be attacked by an alligator than a crocodile, but these sorts of attacks are quite common in Indonesia, since the country is home to 14 different species of crocodile.
So why the F would you ever go in that water?
On Thursday, in the same district, officials announced that a 9-year-old boy was missing from the village and was allegedly attacked by a crocodile. According to reports, the boy was bathing in a river near his house. An hour later, his friends reported that he was eaten by a crocodile.
God.
Sources and close rescue teams joined local authorities to try to locate the crocodile and the young boy, and they haven't found him yet. So that's just messed up.
You want to talk about something that looks prehistoric? They do.
Yeah, most definitely. A woman in Murcia, Spain was given a diagnosis of homosexuality after going to the gynecologist to treat her irregular, painful periods.
You're gay. Take two Tylenol and call me in the morning.
Alba Aragon, who is 19, described the incident, which occurred on her first ever visit to an OBGYN on the 4th of October. Aragon said that she disclosed her sexuality to her doctor in case it would be helpful in ruling out what kind of sexual activity she was having, as he determined the cause of her painful periods and came up with a treatment plan. Concluding the appointment, Dr. Eugenio Lopez gave her a piece of paper with a diagnosis that read, current illness, homosexual.
What?
Aragon and her mother immediately filed a complaint against the hospital. Lopez issued a statement with his employer saying that it was a technical accident. Mistakenly, he had apparently filled in the wrong column of the electronic patient chart, resulting in the diagnosis. Lopez and the hospital offered an apology to Aragon and corrected her diagnosis. Aragon said she wanted to bring national attention to the case to ensure nobody feels that being queer is a disease when they go to the doctor. And that is what I have in the
position. I can believe that. I can believe there was a clerical error.
Because I don't think a doctor would do that on purpose, knowing that. They would definitely face a big issue with
that.
What
exactly does this say?
All right, it's 10 o'clock.
93.3 WMMR. It's time for an MMR money clip.
Kapooyah! Kapooyah!
Now, here's your money clip keyword.
All right, the word you need to enter is funds with a D there. I'm hitting the D kind of hard. F-U-N-D-S. Because if you say funds, it sounds like you're saying F-U-N-S.
Right.
F-U-N-D-S. Funds. As in money. I know, it sounds goofy.
Funds.
You have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. There are three ways for you to do it. You can text into the special contest short code number we have set up, which is 45911. Or if you'd also like to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. One random entry will win $500 in our company-wide contest, and that person will get a call from Beasley. Make sure that you answer your phone. We don't want you to miss this. Contest rules available at WMMR.com, and it is sponsored by Horizon Services. So the word again is funds. F-U-N-D-S, funds. Good luck to you. We'll take a break, come back. The winning is not over because we have a lesson question from today's show. We'll see if you win a prize that we have set up for you. Trash and music news as well. Stay put because we'll be right back.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Well, check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on MMR's mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
How you doing? Welcome to Monday morning. We'll get our first letter of the week for the word of the week. Solid prize at $500 from Ashley Home Store, and they are a proud partner of the Preston and Steve Camp Out for Hunger 2 weeks from today.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
2 weeks from today.
Jeez.
We're getting stuff in place.
Yeah.
And we're going to have some toys to play with while we're there.
Yes, that's going to be very cool.
Skelly's Amusements.
Yeah.
Back again, so we'll be riding rides.
Other stuff.
Having a good time.
Ooh and ah stuff.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to do the lesson question, give away a prize. The prize is a $50 Metro Diner gift card. And the question, I thought looks like a fun one, was Superman's motto should be truth, justice, and what? There's two potential answers here.
Yeah.
So you can lay it on us. 215-263-WMMR. Truth, justice, and what? It's not the American way. It's not a better tomorrow. A couple other things were said. Let's see if you're listening. It was around 7 o'clock we did that. And while you call in, we'll do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it is brought to you by Monster Mania. You can meet the biggest names in horror this weekend. Monster Mania Con 48.
Wow.
At Oaks, PA with Christina Ricci. A Michael Myers reunion. And more Monster Mania at .net. You can get more at MonsterMania.net. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Vince Neil fell off the stage while performing with the Vince Neil Band at a concert in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee on Friday. Fortunately, the seniors at the retirement home had just received their sponge cake, which cushioned the impact. It has been 6 months since Armie Hammer checks himself into a treatment center for multiple addictions, including a kinky fascination with cannibalism. Hammer is reportedly doing extremely well and can now look at a tall, skinny person without seeing them wrapped in a hot dog roll.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Sean Penn's third wife, Layla George, we were talking about this earlier, has filed a divorce, citing irreconcilable differences. George says she wanted the intense actor who played Harvey Milk, but ended up with 2%.
Yeah.
And that's Hollywood Trash.
All right, we shall see if you do indeed know the answer.
Wow. I hit that button like 3 times. It wouldn't go. Sorry about that.
God damn it. So the lesson question, it is Superman's motto should be truth, justice, and what? And I will go to David for the answer. Hey, David.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. All right, David. So Superman's motto should be truth, justice, and what?
No sad, bro.
He said no sad, bro. Yes. We would have also accepted D's nuts. But no sad bro is what David had, and that's what we're going to go with. And that means he wins. And we have a $50 Metro Diner gift card, and you can find all the flavor with Metro Diner's newest herb-roasted chicken, a bone-in-half chicken marinated fresh daily in a blend of special herbs and spices, and oven-roasted to tender perfection. You can enjoy today and order online at MetroDiner.com. What are we listening to?
Pooping's not fun when you poop in your pants or you poop in somebody else's pants.
Who is that?
I don't know. I think his name is Teddy Casey, and my son played it for me over the weekend. Sometimes I give him the aux cord in my car, and this is what he played for me on Saturday night.
It's a little distracting for the winning music.
Yeah, because you're not for the poopy.
Okay. Grandpa said, oops. As he sat on the stoop, because he had too much prune juice, and that makes you poop.
Okay. Music news?
Yeah.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Hey, playtime's over, and we'll do the music news now.
You have to poop.
All right, sponsor?
No.
Okay, all right. As Steve just mentioned, Vince Neil had to be taken to the hospital Friday night after falling off the stage in the middle of a concert in Tennessee. Vince was performing with his own band at the Monsters on the Mountain Festival in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, when the accident happened. A video circulated at the moment. Neil is seen coming to the edge of the stage, encouraging the audience to clap along. He moved just a step to his right, and suddenly he's gone, man. He fell about 4 feet, and he hit the concrete below.
Ooh.
It banged him up, too.
Yeah.
So Neil was taken backstage. Bassist Dana Strum updated the crowd shortly thereafter. He said, the truth is Vince fell and broke his ribs when he fell.
Ooh.
He said he can't breathe, and he's going to get dealt with medically. As Strum continued explaining to the crowd what happened, he noted that Neil initially wanted to keep on playing, but was forced. But was forced to take medical assistance first.
To the seventh veil.
And he said, now that sucks for us and him. He was so excited to be here. He lives in Tennessee, but he was willing to stick it out, tough it out with the people back here telling him, don't do it.
Well, we're looking at the footage of it, and it was low lit on stage. There was not even a follow spot on him.
Yeah.
So he couldn't see where he was going.
Yeah. And I don't know if there was a malfunction with the stage and something came apart, or if he just didn't see where he was going and he stepped right off the edge of it, but he dropped.
Man. Hey, look, he's coming down with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. How you guys doing?
Man, broken ribs, that sucks.
Yeah. Well, you can't sing for a while now.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
Seether is celebrating their 20th anniversary with the release of Vicennial, 2 decades of Seether. The album, released on Friday, is comprised of 20 songs carefully curated by frontman Sean Morgan that have amassed 16 number one chart positions.
That's amazing.
Reflecting on the band's career, Morgan says, 20 years is a major milestone for us. We've been on an amazing ride, although our fans, alongside our fans, and we plan to continue that journey. Putting Vicennial together gave us a chance to look back on our body of work over the years and to rediscover some of our older songs during the pandemic. That brought us all to a standstill. We hope that everyone enjoys the compilation as much as we do now.
Nice.
After this historic lockdown, I look forward to seeing our fans again at live shows in the future. On November 11th, the band is hosting a special Vicennial live online event through a partnership with the premium digital platform Moment House. Tom Morello released his highly anticipated new album, The Atlas Underground Fire, on Friday. According to Tom, the Atlas Underground Fire is a byproduct of very dark and challenging pandemic days. He said, making this album was a life raft during a troubled time, creating a global conspiracy of rock and roll pen pals of incredible and diverse talents really kept me going and helped me push myself as an artist and guitarist. I recorded all my guitar parts in a cloistered isolation, and it feels great now to unleash these tunes on the world and inflict the latest chapter of my bizarro guitar playing on an unsuspecting public. The 12-album track features collaborations including with Bruce Springsteen, Eddie Vedder, Chris Stapleton, Mike Posner, and Damian Marley. Judas Priest frontman Rob Halford revealed that he successfully battled prostate cancer during the pandemic, Steve.
Huh.
He told Consequence, I had my little cancer battle a year ago, which I got through, and that's in remission now, thank God. That happened while we were all locked down, so things happen for a reason as far as time sequence of events. And I have nothing but gratitude to be at this point in my life, still doing what I love the most. He talks about the illness in the new paperback edition of his 2020 autobiography, Confess, writing, how did I feel? I felt a combination of shock, horror, and oddly, relief. At least now I know. He said, am I going to die? It was all I could think of. And I know blokes who have died of prostate cancer. No, you're not going to die, Rob said, according to his doctor. Dr. Ali had said, no, you're not going to die, Rob.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, I do have a death to report. Paul Stanley shared the news of his longtime guitar tech, Fran Stuber, dying of COVID. On Sunday, Stanley posted on social media, my dear friend, budding guitar tech for 20 years, Fran Stuber died yesterday suddenly of COVID.
Guitar techs and those people are prized members of a band's entourage. I mean, they know very exactly much the way you want things.
Yeah, they're your right-hand guy when you're on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Both on and off stage, I depended on him for so much. My family loved him, as did I. He was so proud of his wife and 3 boys, as they were of him. And Paul said that he was numb after hearing about that. Co-founding Heart guitarist Roger Fisher joined frontwoman Ann Wilson on stage last Saturday night at Seattle's Neptune Theater to perform the 1978 Dog and Butterfly classic Mistral Wind. Fisher, who left the band in 1980... and has been romantically linked with guitarist Nancy Wilson, or had been, played on the band's first 4 albums and is best remembered for the cutting intro to Heart's signature 1977 track Barracuda. He's the guy that came up with that. Fisher last played with the Wilson sisters at the band's 2013 Rock Hall induction, so it was a cool reunion. And we have a clip to play of this. Mick Jagger took a swipe at Paul McCartney on Thursday night during the Rolling Stones concert, at LA's SoFi Stadium. Jagger was commenting on the former Beatles' recent take on the Stones to the New Yorker when he had offered up. Paul said, "I'm not sure if I should say this, but they're a blues cover band, and that's sort of what the Stones are. I think the Beatles' net was cast a bit wider than theirs."
Wow.
And no, he wasn't beating up on them.
No, but he is sort of right. I mean, the Stones are legendary, for God's sakes, and they wrote some great songs. But
and he and Paul are really good friends.
Right.
And they kind of have fun with each other a little bit. So, but yeah, they stayed more true to that bluesy sound.
Yeah.
The Beatles went all over the place.
Right.
So I think that's the point he's trying to make. But this is what Mick said on stage.
There's so many celebrities here tonight, of course, you know, naturally. Megan Fox is here, she's lovely. Leonardo DiCaprio. Lady Gaga.
By the way, none of them were there.
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, he's making this up. Lady Gaga.
He even says, they cut it out of this, but he says Kirk Douglas, knowing that Kirk, he passed away.
Paul McCartney is here, he's going to help us. He's going to join us on the blues cover later on.
Now, listen, if I was in the audience and I heard him say that and Paul never showed up, I'd be pretty much disappointed from that.
Yeah.
But he was referencing the comment that Paul had made, so they still kind of have fun with each other.
You can go to hell.
You can suck it.
These nuts.
All right. So that's the last story that I have in music news for you, my friend.
Ripped from the pages of today's headlines.
That is exactly it, Steve. Those are indeed today's music headlines. We'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get that first letter for the Word of the Week prize, and we'll make way for one Mr. Pierre Robert. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Money Clips.
You just won yourself $500?
Woohoo, yeah, you got it.
No, you got it.
Great, I do got it.
Even hours, weekdays, from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. We'll play an audio clip from one of your favorite MMR DJs.
So true, Jackson.
And then give you a keyword. Text it to 45911. Or if you enter it at WMMR.com or our app, you'll also get entered for the grand prize. $10,000.
What the f***?
See complete rules at WMMR.com. It's MMR's Money Clips.
Sponsored by Horizon Services. Heating, cooling, and plumbing. Visit HorizonServices.com.
93.3 WMMR.
Thank you so much.
Everything that rocks your wallet.
A beautiful day, although very fall, very crisp. We're looking at the trees outside here in Bala Cynwyd, and they are moving around quite a bit. So,
would you say blustery now? The high is going to be... What, 61?
62 degrees.
Right.
Yeah, with that type of breeze, it's gonna feel, you're definitely going to be taking in the season quite a bit. It'll be nice. Next couple days are warming up, believe it or not. 68 tomorrow and 74 on Wednesday and 76 on Thursday. So we're not getting completely into it all because I think the average temperature is supposed to be like 66.
Yes.
And so today's 62, so a little bit cooler than normal. But
Saturday was really nice. It was like 80.
What a beautiful day.
It's beautiful. Went out to Peddler's Village. It was awesome.
Nice. We went out to Green Lane Park, took our puppies out for a walk out there, and took lunch out and hung out in the woods and wooded areas. And
some axe throwing.
We did a little axe throwing and a little hunting, and it was great.
I don't know if most of that's legal there, but you guys had fun.
We dug for, a fresh spring.
Yeah,
and,
truffles.
Got water that way, and
Put your truffle pigs out.
I went on a bike ride yesterday. I was on the Radnor Trail, and I was going not very fast because I'm not very athletic, and a lady saw me, and she just goes, "Hey!" WMMR.
Oh, really?
So she recognized me in a manner of speaking. I don't think she knew what my name was, but that's okay.
Hey, yo.
So to that lady, hi.
Hi, lady.
Hi, lady.
Hey, lady. Casey went on a long bike ride yesterday, 46 miles?
47.07, but that was on Saturday as well. I did from like Delco down to the Chester Valley Trail.
It's impressive.
Saw somebody who was like, "Hey, Casey," and it's like, "Yeah, hey, Casey." And I was like, "Hey, guy in a yellow shirt, I believe." But a lot of hills.
How many yellow shirts are there in this area?
I mean, come on,
this guy
isn't a yellow shirt in the in a bike race like the leader.
Usually,
Bio Jaune.
And you know what? Speaking of which, I'm being awarded the yellow jersey on Wednesday night for the Bend to the Shore bike tour.
What?
Yeah, so the beneficiary party where they give all the checks and everything to the charities.
So you're getting that?
Yeah, they're giving me the yellow jersey. And so I don't... are you looking for like a proud music?
No,
like
no, that? No, oh, I was okay. Doing this.
I just wanted the what.
What?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
You're getting the yellow jersey?
I am okay. Getting the yellow jersey.
Good for you, man.
And so, yeah, it's kind of cool. We, Team WMMR raised over $50,000.
Amazing.
For, yeah, the families behind the Badge Children's Foundation. So,
you deserve to be very proud of that.
I absolutely am.
I'd call that a win-win.
Yes.
You know what? You know who else would call that a win? Sheila would. Hi, Sheila. How you doing?
Get rid of them.
Get rid of them. Sheila, I'm assuming you've called for a reason today. What is that reason?
I called because I wanted to win $500.
Yes! Sheila, that must mean you're our MMR Money Clip winner, right?
I am. Thank you so much. Hey, I'm so excited.
We are very, very happy for you. That's cool. What's your story, Sheila? Where are you from? What do you do?
I am actually now from Denver, Pennsylvania, and I am a forklift account manager, so I sell forklifts. I'm originally from Ocean City, New Jersey.
Oh.
How about that?
And you're in Denver, Wait, we were just talking about Denver, Pennsylvania. Why were we talking about Denver, Pennsylvania?
I think there was somebody that sent in some information to you guys that was from here, and you had no idea where it was from.
It was an email, and they said Denver, Pennsylvania. Yeah, they said Denver, Pennsylvania, the less fun one or something like that.
The quarter mile high city.
And so you sell forklifts?
I do, yes.
Wow, okay.
Do we need a forklift?
I'm a woman that sells forklifts.
All right.
I'd love to have a forklift.
I'd love to have a forklift, yeah.
Are yours, are they like the propane-powered ones or gasoline?
We sell them all, every single kind that you could imagine.
Oh,
propane,
man.
Gasoline, electric, the whole nine yards.
Man, yep. Forklifts are us.
I'm like a kid in a forklift shop.
Yeah. Well, Sheila, since you are a longtime listener of the show and you played along, we have $500 for you.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! All right. Congratulations, Sheila. Go do donuts on a forklift.
Yeah!
And enjoy your $500. Thanks for listening.
Oh, she's awesome.
You're the best. That's awesome. So, that's one out of the way. How about a few others? We got them going on all day long here at MMR up until 8 p.m. So, the next shot will be along at noon with Pierre. We need to do the letter of the day. You going to handle that, Case?
Yeah, I do.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
F. As in furniture.
All right, and that does coincide with Ashley Homestore, who's given us $500.
Wow!
Proud partner of the Preston and Steve Camp Out for Hunger, which is 2 weeks from today, benefiting Phil Abundance. You can shop their 11 area locations or online at ashleyfurniture.com today. So we'll give away that prize on Friday. And yes, Camp Out for Hunger, 2 weeks from today. I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also by Acme. Download the Acme app to see the all new deals, rewards, and perks today. You can visit acmemarkets.com for details. And Wilmington University. Ready to make a move? WilmU works online or in person. You can learn more at wilmu.edu. Tomorrow on the program, we are scheduled to have Nick Robinson, who is on that Netflix show, Made.
Yeah.
Like Casey was telling me, he plays the baby daddy on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see if we can get him on and more MMR Money Clips and who knows what else. We'll enjoy it together. Don't forget, we're now streaming on YouTube, but we're done for the day, so you can watch it again tomorrow when we're live. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have yourself a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, everybody, it's good to have you on the map.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.